welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Hey, kiddies. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Juliana DePandy.
I have a new name.
Oh, yes.
Rancic. I have a new name, Rancic.
Yeah.
Juliana Rancic.
Good morning, Danny Bonawawawa. Where the hell's Bonaducci this morning?
Is he always late like this?
Well, I don't know. Bald Brian will pull his drop and we will find out what Danny has to say.
I have been late twice in 16 years of radio.
Okay.
He says that every time he's late.
Adam, has he ever not shown up at all and you guys just had no idea where he was?
I was lost in a world of fantasy for a second there. What did you say, Juliana DePandy? I had this dream. I was on an island alone with a microphone. And now a beautiful, tan, slender woman from Italia Way just showed up. She handed me a hollowed-out coconut with a straw in it. It was filled with silence. What was that?
The question was, has Danny ever not shown up?
Danny has been a couple of moments late.
Oh.
Moments late on a number of occasions, but I believe one time he was about a half hour late.
Okay.
And he just overslept, as it turned out. I think he was using his cell phone as his... Here's what I find, and we'll get into Juliana in one second here. I don't know if you find this way. People are, when it comes to alarm clocks, are either too vigilant, way over the top, mm-hmm. meaning, well, I have the one by my bedstand, and then I keep the one.
Oh, my gosh.
Then I keep the, Danny's Sorry. Here. Then I keep the one across the way.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Oh, look at me. Look at me.
Wow, he makes quite an entrance in the morning, this
one. Oh, this is a three.
I have that guy Tom from MySpace on the phone till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yep, really. The guy does not give up.
I wish he weren't alive.
I got him back. I got all everybody back.
You got it? Oh, you got everyone back
to his...
And tens of thousands of friends.
To your MySpace. Oh, okay. All right.
I still apologize for being late.
That's all right.
Good morning. Hi, Danny.
Juliana DePandy, by the way, we should mention, is on the co-anchor of E! News on E! You know her well from the E! News channel, and also new bride, Bill Rancic from The Apprentice, who we've had in here on multiple occasions. Mm-hmm. A delight, beautiful smile, and quite an entrepreneur as well. He's what I call a go-getter. Your family must have been happy. You were married just a few weeks ago or a few months ago?
We just got married. Not even, thank you, about a week and a half ago.
And are you going with the name change?
I did go with the name change. I changed it at work as well on my little Chiron.
I like that.
I like it too, according to my card.
Mm.
You changed your name to Sugar Ray Leonard, according to what I've got in front of me.
I really appreciate that because you have one of these sort of loopholes. I don't like it when the women do the hyphenated thing. I don't like it when they don't change the name. I pretty much feel like guys in general, most guys, a lot of guys don't want to get married as much as their female counterparts go. We don't want to pay for the dress. We don't want to go pick out cakes. We don't want to do all this stuff. You taking our name, sort of the one bone you can toss us, which is one decent reason to get married as well. But when you don't, then it's like, hey, man, we don't have too many things work in our favor already. And you kept this one.
It's the least you could do.
But if you're in show business and you're Juliana DePandy and you've been around for a few years and people know you as Juliana DePandy, then that's a viable business-related excuse.
Right.
Right. And a lot of people, you know, I actually was on The View about a month ago, and they all took a vote. And Barbara Walters, who's one of my idols, as many journalists' idols, and she said, I say you don't change your name.
Yes.
Well, I love
she
it.
Said no.
Right.
And she tells did you just snort? She tells me, don't change your name. You know, and they were very against me changing my name professionally. And they said, oh, change it in your personal life, but professionally. And I thought, you know what? Here's what it comes down to, bottom line, is that if I had any other job in the world, I would change my name. If I was a secretary, if I was a waitress, anything else, I would change my name. So why? Just because I work in Hollywood, I can't change my name? Like,
no, I admire you at this very moment more than ever. Had I been at home right now admiring you, I'd be now admiring you more.
Thanks, Danny.
My wife would not give up the name Bonaducci. We're getting a divorce. There's nothing you could do to pry the name Bonaducci away from her. She hates Bonaducci's, this one in particular, but most of them in general. But Gretchen Hilmer doesn't get a phone call answered. And now she's Mrs. Show Business or Miss Show Business.
Got it.
I asked her, please give me my name back. Most, I don't want some
most women won't take a name. Your woman won't give her back.
Now, are you kidding? She would never in a million
years. Why don't you guys split it in the divorce? You get part-time custody. She gets to be Bonaducci on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and every other Saturday. And you share it like a child. Or you cut it in half like you do with the assets. She gets to be Mrs. Ducci or Mrs. Bonna.
How about you go, well, why don't I just admit that Gretchen Hilmer didn't actually accomplish much, but Gretchen Bonaducci put her names on things that Danny Bonaducci did. And I think, hand it back now and show the talent. Because every show we ever did, I said, you know, Gretchen thought this up. She's a genius, that woman. Every single one. I said, if she could write, she wouldn't need me. These are all her ideas. And some of them weren't. She has a very good idea. Don't get me wrong. But she would not give me that name back for anything in the world, and it offends me greatly.
I have
my name back. That's my name, man.
Well, you still get yours.
But some chick that
listen,
hates
I have
me.
2 billion cars with my name on it. I'd let it go.
Now...
That's funny.
I don't get paid. Corolla. People now spell my name C-O-R instead of C-A-R. Ironically, not the car like it is spelled just because of this other car. But I've gotten
over
it.
But do your cars actively dislike you and yell at you?
The Jag, man. I do say the Jag. We do have a problem. Yes, other than the Jag, no. I don't have a problem. No, it's true.
That is interesting.
She's giving my name back.
I don't want to. It is interesting that we have an example of someone who's taken a name and someone who wants their name back, not more than 4 feet apart. The thing I was thinking about now, take this in the spirit it's intended, Juliana DePandy, now Juliana Rancic. Maybe Barbara Walters and the other ladies were responding. Like, let's just say Bill's name was Bill Beautyton. And now your name would become Juliana Beautyton. And I bet you Barbara Walters would have went, Juliana Beautyton. Or Juliana Ravenwood.
Or Juliana Valentino.
McCotness.
No, you couldn't do better
Juliana
than to marry.
McCotness. Right.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
You could even be Juliana that. What if you had married Rudy Giuliani?
Juliana Giuliani.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Nice. I thought about
that'll
it.
That'll be husband number two.
And you could give him his colon back.
All I'm saying is Rancic doesn't... Not a horrible name, but doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. Probably not the one you would pick if you were sitting around in the 50s coming up with your Hollywood name. You know, if you're Rock Hudson, whose name was, I can't remember, and maybe it wasn't
Archibald
Rock
Leach
Hudson.
Was
Donovan.
Cary Grant.
Or Cary Grant, yes. If you were...
No, Donovan Leach is Donovan Leach.
Right. If you're right. If you're Archibald Leach...
Right.
And you're sitting around going, Cary Rancic... Cary Grant. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. If Bill had one of those names, I bet you Barbara would have given you a pass on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she did. That's a good point, actually, because she did kind of talk it out first and sound it out. And then she said, let's take a vote, and then said, no.
Well, here's the thing about Bill.
Whatever Barbara votes on, it's not really a democracy. The Barbara votes and then things happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. True. It's a geezer-tocracy.
I remember the day she voted, she hated me. Boy, everyone went right with her.
Yeah, she does rule the roost over there. Well, Juliana Rancic, Juliana DePandy, for the sake of clarity, filling in for Teresa Strasser.
Wait, for the sake of clarity, I'm already confused. For the sake of clarity, what are we going with?
I'm going to go with DePandy myself.
I would recommend it. You know what? I mean, no offense. And if you want, I don't mind the hyphen thing either, because then you can use it professionally. You've done a lot of work. If they'd have said Juliana Rancic, I'd have said, oh, what'd she do?
Right.
But I know you, right? The second they said your name, I went, oh, her. She's coming in. That's great. That's a lot of work in this town.
Yeah, it was a tough decision, but, you know, he...
Michelle's love, though.
I do. I swear, that's really what it comes down to. He deserves it. Maybe if it was some other, you know, Joe Schmo guy that I wasn't...
But married anyway,
yes. Sure. Like many women do. They settle.
Marry a guy named Schmo?
No. I know.
Yeah, that would really
Gianna
suck.
Schmo?
But, you know, he is such a good person, and we just do have very, you know, we do have traditional values, and I refuse to give those up just because I work in this business.
Listen, I believe you. I hear what Danny's saying, but I also remember a time when Nissan was called Datsun,
so
and they were called Datsun for like 30 years, and then somebody said, we're going to call ourselves Nissan, and everyone went, well, that'll never catch on, and now our kids know nothing but Nissan. Right. They've never heard of a Datsun. Right. So there is a transition. There's a little period. It's been done many times. John Mellencamp, successfully.
Yeah. Also, though, I think the car thing is wonderful because if you keep the analogy that kids do know what it's like to know a Nissan, but they don't know what it's like to be inside a 240Z.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know around. So maybe they will someday, but they'll never know the joys of being in a
Depending.
Wait, I didn't quite. That wasn't quite the way that was supposed to come out.
Yes. Many of us will never know the joy, the splendor, inside, the bliss of being inside. The old.
You're gonna have to settle for being in a Ransom.
Mm, I didn't like the change. I like the 06 Dependies.
I'm looking at the new model. You could have changed it to Rancid. I'd have gone, she's still hot.
Well, it works, and I do appreciate, the thing I like, there's two things I like about Julianna Dipani. Not only the old school changing the name, but the flexibility. I love somebody where you go, you meet their name and they go, you go, is it Don or Donald? And they go, well, whatever. I love that person. I hate the person where you go, oh, nice to meet you, Chris. And they go, Christopher. Like you think, oh, Christ. Really? You blow hard? I love people that are just easy about whatever.
Yeah.
Especially the name. And the name seems to be the one that uptight people get stuck on the most. That's the tip of their uptight arrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're up to other stuff.
Right. Yeah. I don't like when people correct other people, but I love it when people go, either way you want to pronounce it, or you want to go Rancic, you want to go Dipandy, it's your business.
It's funny, Adam, because people always say, it's actually Julianna. But that's what I thought you were getting to here. But people always say to me, sometimes on the show, you introduce yourself as Julianna. I don't care. You know what I mean?
That's
Julianna,
what I love
Julianna.
About...
Call me whatever you want.
I really like your attitude.
Who cares? Honestly.
Is it because you're hot or because you have dignity?
No.
Or both, which usually don't go hand in hand, I gotta tell you. Especially
if you
don't go
in mine.
Say it's because you're hot.
Just no, because I'm Italian. I'm Italian, and, you know, I'm just like my mom. My mom's like a cool Italian woman, like, who has other things to worry about than.
You're a cool Italian woman. I totally get your vibe. That's
well. Juliana
that's really cool.
Bonaducci.
Mm. Yeah, that would have worked out.
Wow.
Of course, you'd be dead now. Or rich. Oh, you're already rich.
Julianna Dipandi in studio. Julianna Dipandi. Dipandi set in studio, filling in for Teresa Strasser, who's off doing her TMZ show one more day. She'll be in tomorrow and then Friday. The aforementioned Bill Rancic is going to be on the phone. He's got a little, he's got a new show. He's got some news. We'll talk to him and talk about the wedding next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and in for Teresa Strasser, E's Julianna Dipandi. Here's what's on deck this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Thanks for the ad, peeps. Today, from Family Guy and That 70s Show, Mila Kunis. The co-star of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jeff Garlin. We'll play a round of Mr. Brightside. The Ace Man answers your home improvement questions. And we'll talk to Tom from MySpace. Oh, sweet! I'm totally friends with that dude! Yo, Tommy boy! I know you're helping the douche get all his friends back after his girlfriend deleted him! Hypothetically, how would a guy go about unblocking himself from chatting with 14-year-olds? Because a friend of mine wants to know! Not me, who is at myspace.com/silverisgold! Wait!
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Julianna in studio. Bill Rancic, I believe, is going to be popping up on the phone. New husband. Bill, of course, from The Apprentice, seemed to win when it was a good time to win. I don't, I like The Apprentice, but feels like the show's lost a little momentum over the last couple of seasons. Yes?
Yeah, I personally think the first season was the best, and then it got a little weaker every season. But now they're doing Celebrity Apprentice, so I think it's actually going to make a little bit of a comeback.
Well, it's, a lot of shows do this. They have a normal sort of cycle, an ebb and a flow. They get out of the gates okay, then people get used to the format, then they get kind of over it, and then either they reinvent themselves and make a move in season 4 or 5, or they die a tragic death. Bill, on the phone. Bill?
Good morning.
Great to speak
morning,
to you.
Bill.
Billy R.
How you been, man?
Hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. Nice to talk to you again.
Larry Wirt sends his love.
Oh, good. Nice to hear.
Yes.
So, Bill, are you in Chicago?
By the way, his name is tattooed on my ass, if he didn't tell you that.
I was just going to get into that story. I'm in Chicago. I'm actually sitting here at NBC Tower in Chicago, which Larry Wirt is the president of. And Larry gave Danny his first break in radio. Right, Danny?
Yep. My first own show. I stopped being a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
And then a nice life turns around. I wasn't in gratitude that
To be
it.
Fair, I don't look at you as a sidekick. I look at you as a peon.
But the cool part is, you can actually, and I had this conversation with Jack yesterday. I said, he said, we got to make sure to do this. We're talking about next year and the year after and all that stuff. And he said, you know, it's still got to be the Adam Carolla show. I said, for the kind of money you're paying me, dude, call it the Adam Carolla and Bitch Boy show. And I'll sit right there in that chair and be as funny as I can be.
Write that down. Bitch Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir.
First, congrats on the marriage.
Thank you.
Picked the winner.
You guys have... Yes, you guys make a lovely couple, and we're talking to Juliana about taking your last name and how much we respected that.
It was a big move, don't you think?
I do, because she's, well, for a few reasons.
It's an almost unheard of move, to be frank.
She's A, in show business, B, you know, obviously has a recognizable name, and then C, is a proud Italian. So she has
very
her,
proud
there's
Italian.
A heritage issue as well as just a name recognition issue. So that took quite a bit and shows that she loves you, in my opinion.
I agree.
And that she's in it for the long haul.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's going on with the new show, iVillage show?
Well, it's actually it's iVillage kind of part two. It's being called In the Loop with iVillage, and it was on last year, and it was filmed in Orlando, but they revamped everything. It's now in Chicago. We've got a great set, new team, new crew, and it's really going to be a great show. It's going to be on Monday through Friday on NBC in L.A. from noon to 1.
Now, that's its normal time now, right? Or the old show's normal time.
The
Is that
old
correct?
Show, it was the old show's normal time.
Because I've caught it a few times. It's sort of interactive computer. It was the show where there was a couple of gals sitting around and they're talking and they're going to the computer, and it's an interactive show. Would that be the way to describe it?
That's how it was, and it's still going to have that interactive component, but you know, it's not fair to compare this show to the show that you saw, because it was it's two completely different formats and the way the show is going to roll out. I mean, this is going to be a little edgier, a lot more energy, a lot more segments coming on. I mean, they would have, you know, 15, 20-minute segments on that last show. It was, it was a little different.
So there's a new sheriff in town.
There is a new sheriff.
He has his metronome set
in
to high.
In the Windy City.
And his name is Bill. Now, if you're in the Windy City, sorry, Danny, but if you're in Windy City and Juliana's out here, how's that going to work?
It works great.
Yeah?
It's awesome.
I agree.
It keeps the relationship alive and well.
If somebody's in the Windy City and somebody's not, somebody's getting blown. The Windy City.
It's a decent point.
3 minutes late, but I make up for him.
Well, you know what I want to say? People always do that where they go, well, the reason the relationship failed is I was on the road too much, which meant you cheated too much, but I was on the road too much, so on and so forth. But let's look at any relationship. I could have a best friend and a best friend for life, and I could, from cradle to grave, be best friends with someone if we didn't become roommates. If we became roommates and we lived on top of each other for 2 years, we would probably hate each other. Yeah. At least our best friend status would get lowered down to he's one of my friends.
A good pal, right.
Co-workers you can get along with just fine day in, day out, week in, week out. But if you guys moved in together, I'm sure you would hate each other's guts. I don't mean that everyone who lives together is going to get divorced, but why, when they say, oh, these people live on opposite coasts, or one lives in the middle of the country and the other lives on the West Coast, it'll never work. To me, you've added 10 years.
I agree.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, and for me, I've been a bachelor for 36 years, and, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah, you had your share.
So this is a great way to kind of ease into the process of being married. And it's very...
I like the idea that Bill counts his adolescent and preteen years as his bachelor years. Most guys don't count six through nine as their bachelor.
Yeah, well, most guys probably didn't have six through nine as their bachelor. This one
I was driving my big wheel solo, baby. I didn't have pixie sticks for two. I was the lone wolf. Of course, I had to be in when the street lights were on, but I was a bachelor. Huh. Eating Chef Boyardee, SpaghettiOs.
I did well when I was six, seven, and eight with the ladies.
Oh, I ruled the second grade. They all loved me.
I remember when I was on my big wheel and I had a little t-shirt on that said, if you can read this, the bitch fell off.
That's right.
You know, of course, I was about 45. I shouldn't have been on the big wheel.
Well, let's be honest. Bill's a very good looking guy. It's funny because I actually probably say it more than you, don't I, Bill? I'm always like, oh my God, I can't imagine the action Bill had.
It wasn't that.
I think it's great, it honey. I think you should brag about it.
Well, really, I like that.
Bobby!
Hey, well, look, Bill's a good-looking guy, and Bill's always been well-spoken.
Yes.
I don't mean a rap. I just mean his rap is not having a rap, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Appears to be honest when you look into
his
falsely colored eyes. Bill's a guy who never had a minute of trouble with women, but he got the ultimate one in Juliana DePandy.
I married up.
I
hate to admit this because I'm getting a divorce, but so did I. By the way, if that ever goes bad, if you admire your wife because you married up and then she leaves you, you get real. You go, oh, man, did I just take this giant leap backwards now? And the answer, unfortunately, is yes.
Well, it's like being rich and then going back to being poor.
Mm-hmm. I know about all of these things.
Now, how's it going to work? Are you guys going to go visit each other on weekends? Or?
Yeah, every weekend. I'm going to shoot out there probably on Thursday nights, and I'll spend Thursday, Friday, Saturday there, and then come back here on Monday morning. And, and then, you know, hopefully she'll do
that. Yeah, I'm going to talk to we have the Emmys this weekend. We're a little busy, but as soon as things settle down, I'm going to talk to the bosses, see maybe if I can take, like, let's say for a few months, like Monday off, so I could have long weekends there. But it's going to work. You know what? We did it during our dating life, and it was great. It's great. You know why? Because we both have jobs that we love and that we like going to every day. So it's nice. We get the best of both worlds. You know, go to work.
I know I sound like I'm kidding. I'm not. I hope my wife's not listening. But I sort of believe that I always had this theory that almost any relationship was good for X amount of hours, almost like a airplane engine needs to be rebuilt every so thousand hours of use or whatever it is. You could use those hours up every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, or you could spread them out on the installment plan. See, it's going to take you guys 100 years to use up your hours.
Exactly.
It's funny you mentioned that because I recently met Neil Armstrong, the astronaut, and he never exercises because he believes you have a certain number of heartbeats on this planet, and he doesn't want to waste them, much like the hours of life.
That's ridiculous.
Danny has that, except for with breathing.
Yeah.
But yes.
There are a certain amount of breaths.
It is.
I can use them all up in a sentence.
It is interesting. I mean, here's when couples fall apart. Yeah. When somebody loses their job and somebody putzes around the house in a bathrobe, staring at the other one, seeing all the things they don't like about themselves in the other person. You show me people that are busy, happy at work, productive, and then look forward to seeing each other.
Bill, do we ever fight? Do we ever? We don't
honestly,
never.
Never.
You've been married for a whole 9 days, though.
No, but we've been together, you know, a couple years now. You guys, I think the secret to a good relationship is distance. Now, you don't have to live necessarily in different cities or on different coasts, but even just calm down. Like, you don't have to be on top of each other.
I wholeheartedly agree. I'll tell you the other. Well, be on top of each other for between 8 and 12 minutes. And then and go watch your own TiVos.
And you flip it over and go to bed.
Personal TiVos is another good way to go. I got my wife her own TiVo. I said, you watch yourself The View up there and as much Brett Michaels as you can stomach, and I'll be downstairs watching my stuff. Because you don't have to argue about it. You know, Bill, I'm so committed to this, and I can see Juliana is as well. If you ever relocate out here full-time to Los Angeles, I'm going to ask you to move into my house. I will move in with Juliana, and that way both our relationships will go on forever.
Done. As long as I can have your car collection.
Yes, you may.
Hey, currently, my house collection is getting very near to Adam's car collection, and not in a good way. There's the mansion she lives in, the hovel I live in, and the condo I bought that I will eventually move in when the divorce is final. So right now, I have three homes and really live in none of them.
Yeah, why don't you move in your condo if you bought the condo?
Because at the Palazzo, which I enjoy very much, right up here by the Grove, it's, first of all, let me say something really good about it. It's like living at a resort. If I had gone there on my honeymoon and it was on a beach somewhere, but just exactly like it is, I'd feel very satisfied. There's Sunday morning brunches by the pool that they pay for. Mm. There's an incredible gym. It's great.
Well, you pay for it.
$4,000 a month for an 800 square foot room.
Yes, you're paying other.
What do they charge you a month anyway?
Well, what it is, it's corporate housing. I have a 7,200 square foot house for sale for like almost $5 million. But I don't think houses without furniture in them sell. You know, that's why they stage houses.
Right, of course.
Well, I don't have that kind of dough anymore.
Mm. Oh, to stage the house.
Yeah, my wife.
They want like 15, 20 grand a month to stage the house.
Yeah, right? And my wife, by the way, I made a couple of jokes about it this morning, is possibly the person I trust the most in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she said she wanted a divorce, I didn't even call a lawyer. I figured out exactly what we had and wrote her a personal check for $2 million.
Staging the house quickly, wow. For those of you who aren't in the know like we all are, is putting furniture in it and making it look like someone lived there, as right. opposed to walking into what looks like a museum that got robbed.
Because right. a lot of people don't have an imagination.
Especially when it's that big. Right. You walk into a place, even I'll never buy a house that big. My point was to, and I did this in a lot of embarrassing ways, as I stopped being Gary Coleman and Todd Bridges and Eddie Munster and the guy from Leave It to Beaver.
Hold on, when did you drop below those guys?
When I climbed my way up to the bottom of the B-list? When I started having money and shows and stuff like that, it was so important to me that I got more and more expensive cars that were ridiculous because I can't fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
And bigger and bigger and bigger homes till I got to this one of 7,200 square feet.
That's a lot of house.
It's the loneliest thing in the world. I've yelled for hours and finally assumed, okay, there's no one here. And then people just start to meander out of rooms and they've been home the whole time.
Well, just to maintain that house is expensive. I mean, the heating or the air conditioning in LA.
Please. It was like 116 degrees over here the other day. And you're just running that thing all day long and it's leaking like a sieve. Well, so Bonaducci, you'll be into your new condo when?
Well, I actually have the keys on me now. They gave me the keys a day early. They said, they said the loan's going to go through tomorrow.
Okay.
No.
Phil's
no.
looking for temporary housing as well.
I'm telling you, he's going to stay in my place.
I've got this beautiful one-bedroom apartment I've paid for till October 22nd.
Yeah,
that's why I'm not in the new place. I'm paid up. You have to do 3 months.
I need to ask Danny and Adam a very important question, because these guys are seasoned TV hosts. You guys have both had your own, you know, talk shows and TV shows. What advice can you guys give me? We're starting this new show at Debuts on Monday. What advice can
live.
You guys give me?
Debuts live, you guys.
Live TV.
Here, well, the live part, does it have an, are you going to have a live audience?
Live studio audience.
The thing about the live studio audience, that's live, whether it's live to tape or not, you know, the whole live part. I hosted a few years back, I hosted the Billboard Awards, and it was live. And everyone kept saying to me, aren't you nervous that it's live? How about it's live? And I said, well, it's at the big megaplex at the bottom of the MGM Grand.
Mm-hmm.
There's 18,000 people out there. That's enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to F up in front of just the 18,000 people that
right.
are sitting in front of me. That's enough to make me nervous. The part where it beams out live after that is sort of water under my bridge. So I would say the live part, neither here nor there. You'll have the audience in front of you. You'll have the adrenaline surge when you walk out there. Here's what I would say, and I know it sounds corny, but trust yourself. And here's what I mean when I say that. you're an engaging guy. You're a good guy. You're a nice-looking guy. People like you. You don't have to put on a personality. If you do put on a personality, it might work for 10 minutes, but eventually it's going to become a lot of work. It's like any lie. It's hard to keep it up.
To keep it up, right.
You need to trust yourself, and I know, again, it just sounds like I reach into my bag of cliches.
No, I think that's valid, though.
The only chance you have is if people like Bill Rancic. I think people will like Bill Rancic. I've met Bill Rancic. I've talked to him on and off the air. He's a nice guy. Juliana DePanni married him because he's a good guy. He's a genuine guy. So be yourself. Trust yourself. Don't get all sped up into the used car salesman version of Bill Rancic, filled with all the cliches at the end of the day and all that kind of corporate stuff where you're giving a presentation to a bunch of people and the clock is ticking, because the adrenaline will speed you up. The audience and the adrenaline will speed you up, and you'll look at yourself and you won't even remember what you said. Mm-hmm. All you know is you'll be talking a mile a minute, and you'll be tossing out a bunch of cliches, and it'll look like an infomercial at 2 a.m.
Right.
Bill Rancic's a smart guy. Bill Rancic won The Apprentice. Bill Rancic is a funny guy. Bill Rancic is a charismatic guy. Just be Bill Rancic.
This is good for my self-esteem. Okay, that's
it. It is good for self-esteem. I don't know that it's 100% correct. Now, if you ask me for my advice for television longevity and success, I say be willing to commit several felonies on film per season. That's what worked for me. People just thought...
It gets the ratings up.
What crime or steel object is he going to assert into his body this week? So if you don't, if the whole likable, smart, affable thing doesn't work out, go for the nut thing. People really like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. People want to see Bill Rancic light a hobo on fire via YouTube every once in a while. I thought that was clear, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry if I didn't get that right.
On the weekends, I'll do that.
Bill, this will work or it won't work, because people either like Bill Rancic or they don't. But either way, if you try to take Bill Rancic and twist him into something that people will like, they will not like him faster.
Right.
So you're a good guy. Just go out there and be you.
And what's the worst that can happen? It doesn't work out. Then you move to L.A.
You got a super hot chick with a nice paycheck waiting for you in L.A.
Which isn't a bad thing.
Just in case. And you'll live with Adam's wife.
That's right.
Adam's going to live with me, and it'll all work out, honey.
Hey,
Bill.
No, it's going to be great.
Am I even here?
Yeah, Danny.
Yeah.
Well, who do you want to live with, Danny? Would you rather live with me and Adam? Oh, we know the answer to this.
Wait,
me and Adam.
Do I get to have sex with you, or is it just all platonic? If I had to pick all platonic, I'm going with Corolla last. And I'd probably, of all the people I know with
brain
power.
You'd have to have sex with everyone. So it'd have to be either me and Corolla or Bill and Adam's wife.
Lynette.
No, single, like one-on-one.
Oh, yeah, I'll go with you.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to offer up the boss's wife. What am I, high?
Yeah. Hey, what?
But I'm not going to go gay for Ramsey. Like,
good luck and enough for you, Bonaducci.
Even though he's hot. No, I said the wife. I'd bone you, sir, right now, sir.
Okay.
On my knees, sir.
Let's keep it that way, Bonaducci. Hey, Bill Rancic, in the loop, I should say, in the loop with iVillage, is going to premiere on NBC. Live.
The 17th at noon to 1
this
every day.
Monday the 17th.
Honey,
thanks,
did we confirm? Can I come on the show and say hi?
You are coming on the show on Monday.
Oh, good. Okay,
fantastic.
Good.
Can we come on and say hi?
I would love for you to come on anytime. You are always welcome.
Corolla can be really smart, and I'll set the hobo on fire.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, cool.
That's a euphemism for Danny wants to masturbate. When Danny says it's time to set the hobo on fire.
All right, Bill, so I'll see you whenever,
yes.
New husband, maybe. One of these weeks. I'm kidding. I'll see you soon.
Okay, love you guys.
Thanks, good times.
Thanks, Adam.
There you go.
Good night, buddy. I really like that. I've known him.
Isn't he a sweetheart?
You know, I think I've known him longer than you have.
Probably
he's
have.
He's gay! Juliana DePanni or Juliana DePanni or Juliana Rancic or Juliana Rancic. Either way you pronounce it, beautiful and doing the news for us, filling in for Teresa Strasser, who's doing TMZ. We'll take a break. I had a nice conversation with my 94-year-old grandmother yesterday while her cat attempted to scratch me, yes?
No, I just want to say something that's going to drive me crazy if I don't get it off my chest. I really, well, I'm off the edge. You know how I protested, and I'm never late? The whole beginning of this job, and in 9 months, however long it's been, I've been between 1 minute and 4 minutes late 5 or 6 times. And I can't get it
Adam can now officially back me up.
Twice in 16 years of radio.
That's true. And one of the reasons was we had a power outage. I no longer have a single clock in my house that plugs in. They're all battery operated.
Mm-hmm.
When I need to know if a battery's going low or anything, I go by my telephone that says atomic clock right on it.
Yeah.
And I never noticed before, and I looked up, and Adam can back me up. I push the button. My atomic clock is 7 minutes slow.
This is your cell phone.
Yeah. Yes.
That says, your assistant's out there trying to fix it. It says it's right. It says it's set to the what Greenwich Mean Time.
Jay.
So I have never noticed that until right this moment, that it says Greenwich Mean Time, and it's 7 minutes slow. So hey, I apologize to all you guys, but at least
Jay.
I figured it out.
Jay, how about you work on some Greenwich Me Time instead of working on Bonaducci's crap?
Well, if your partner's going to be late, that is working on your time. You have to think twice as hard if I'm not here. I knew that was coming.
That's good time. That's a funny thing we said all morning. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Back with the conversation with my 94-year-old grandmother next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
It was a major attraction, and from all accounts, a magical place. A place where you could take a leisurely boat ride past waterfalls and exotic birds, or stroll pathways and see peacocks and flamingos up close. And there were animal shows, too, with clapping seals and parrots that went down a slide.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, Juliana DePondi, Andy, Juliana, Juliana, she's all of them are here. She's filling in for Strasser one more time. Strasser back from her TMZ duties starting tomorrow. Visited my grandmother, 94 years of age, yesterday, having a little cat controversy over at the house. Turns out Mr. Mose is now ruling the roost, and, what's the tabby's name? It's been exiled to the outside. My grandmother's she's an interesting person. I will say this about her. I have a thousand good grandmother stories. One of my most favorite. The thing that probably sums up my grandmother best is, it must have been 10, 12 years ago. I was doing Loveline on the radio. And when I first started with Ricky Rackman from Headbangers Ball.
Who? Are you insane?
Please.
Me, Ricky Rackman? I would change my name to Danny Rackman for that kind of talent.
Wow. That would be a combination. That would be a radio combination right there. Danny Rackman. We used to work with Ricky, and I said, she said, how's that going? And I said, well, the give and take's not so good. He talks a little too much, and he's not very good at listening. And she took a minute, and she said, I bet he'd say the same about you. And I said, Grandma, when Ricky talks to his grandma about what a pain in the ass Adam Carolla is, do you think his grandma defends me or just agrees with her grandson, her lovable, tattooed, rockabilly NASCAR-loving, now working at McKenna VW-loving grandson, Ricky Rackman? I don't think she defends me, but an interesting impulse you had there, Grandma. But my grandmother, who's 94 and still hasn't lost any of her. You know, my grandmother's one of these people where you go, she'll have like a maid named Delia, and I'll go, hey, Grandma, guess who just bought a big, beautiful 5,000-square-foot house on top of the hill? Your grandson. And she'll go, Delia lives in an apartment, and she doesn't have a dining room table. She has to eat on the floor.
Yeah.
Thank you. I now feel great about my big, spacious house on top of the hill. It's one of those things. She actually did this one, too, which is a good one. I've been poor, extremely poor, my whole life, to the point where I was, you know, in trouble with the IRS, and I was driving cars without insurance, and I never had medical or dental insurance, and, you know, my family sort of knew I was destitute. And at a certain point, I started making money, And I started making pretty good money, especially for my family, who never made any money. Mm-hmm. And I guess I made about $600,000-$700,000 one year, some years back. And I said to my grandma, I said, you know, I'm making pretty good money now. I don't know if you know that, because they don't know anything about show business. Pretty good money for the Corollas is $45,000-$50,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they knew it was $750,000 a year. So I said, I'm making some pretty good dough. I don't know if you know about that. And they said, my grandmother said, are you making $1 million a year? And oh. I said, no, close, but no. Yeah. But the next year, I did make $1 million. So when I showed up, and I'd been there in between, but I just probably looked at some tax form or something, and it was on my mind. And I said, hey, Grandma, remember last year you asked me if I made $1 million? Well, you know what? This year, I made over $1 million. Wow. And she said, that's fantastic. But remember, money doesn't buy happiness.
I can't win.
That's what I thought is her cat, Mr. Wow. Moe's, who'd was scratching me. As this weird thing about cats is they want you to pet them, but they want to scratch you simultaneously.
Right. It's a long, like, marriage.
I was going to say there are certain, you know, people, well, there's a P word we won't get into. But the point is there's a lot of rubbing up against your shin and rubbing up against your shin. And they'll rub up against the shin until either you pay attention to them or their skin comes off. And then the second you reach down, pow, you get a nice fishing hook in the top of your hand.
Yeah, always fair.
That's interesting that there are a lot of similarities, huh?
I have said this, and as a matter of fact, we need to take a break, but I will give you a speech of men are like dogs and women are like cats. I'll make it quick. I've said it before, but when I'm done, you'll not only go, oh, yeah, there's some similarities. You'll go, dude, you are spot on.
Wait, you're gonna go that good that when you're done, I'll look at you and I'll go, dude. Because that's the ultimate. Obviously correct.
You'll go, I think I heard this one in March, but Juliana will go, dude, you're spot on. We'll take a quick break. We'll do the news with Juliana DePandy next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and in for Teresa Strasser is Juliana DePandy. On the way this morning from That 70s Show and Family Guy, Mila Kunis.
I'm on my way to the pool right now to think about it. Rest assured, when I'm in my most delicious shade of cocoa brown, you will have your answers.
Curb Your Enthusiasm's Jeff Garland.
Have a great day.
A spirited round of Mr. Brightside and the Ace Man will take your home improvement questions. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
It's my show, but it's time for Juliana DePandy filling in for Teresa Strasser one last day while she wraps up the TMZ business with the news.
Yes. Teresa Strasser is on assignment, and now the news with some other broad.
I prefer chick. Kanye West. you guys have probably heard lately, Kanye West, he's very angry. He's angry at MTV. He's even angry at Pam Anderson. We're going to get to why he's so angry at Pam in a second. But first, let's listen to Kanye talking about why he is so PO'd with MTV after this past weekend's VMA Awards.
It almost like they're trying to antagonize me to see if they'll create a TV moment to get some ratings at my expense. You know, they know that Britney wasn't ready and they had her perform, so they exploited her. They knew that how I feel about award shows playing me, so they didn't give me the award just to see could I give them a TV moment where I could look like an ass and they look great because they're the TV that showed it and exploit me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, way to have the artist's interest at heart, MTV.
Well, they did get their moment where he looks like an a-hole.
Yep.
I think we just heard it. Does MTV get to decide who gets the awards? Does the audience vote? Who votes? Who decides? I mean, obviously, MTV didn't say, let's not give Kanye the award for best video or whatever it was. But they never do really explain, is it the guys that do the Academy Awards? Is it the people that vote?
Right. Is it the Hollywood Foreign Press?
Is it one guy? Is it a group of guys?
Now, I'm going to date myself here, but it comes in the exact same envelope that Karnak used to get on Carson.
Sure.
And he just put it up to his forehead and tell you who the winner was.
Yeah.
And they didn't think that was a good way for security.
Yeah, I'm curious. They never make it clear.
they're not trying to, like, upset Kanye. They're not robbing him from his, you know.
Well, didn't he get robbed, according to Kanye, at the Grammys a few years ago?
Yeah, according to him, he gets robbed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He gets robbed a lot, but I don't think that was the case here. I think there were just, you know, people more popular who, you know.
Well, first the Grammys, then the MTV Awards. Yeah. Next year, it'll be the Heisman. And then it'll be the Marconi Award, and then it'll be who invented dynamite? What the hell's his name? Yeah,
Dino.
Thank you.
The Nobel Prize guy.
Yes, Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, it's just going to keep going.
Well, Kanye, he's also mad at Pam Anderson for an introduction she gave at the VMAs, which I thought was kind of hilarious. So you guys judge. Listen to this.
I've had some good times in Vegas, but one of the best times I ever had was making out, stop it, Tommy, with the next performer in the middle of the desert. I think I had my tongue so far down his throat I could taste his fiance. Stop it! And I might need a repeat performance later on tonight. So rocking it up in the Sky Villa Suite with T-Pain, my friend, Kanye West!
Trying to be edgy and sexy or whatever, right?
I thought that was cute. And he did not find humor in that at all. He said it was disrespectful to his relationship, and he blames MTV for allowing Pam to say that.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's very, very angry.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, he has an album coming out this week.
Sure.
He just had an album coming out. So, whatever. That's a side note. But as angry as he is, this is what's so funny. MTV put out a statement last night because now basically Kanye banned MTV, said he never wants to be on MTV. He canceled his TRL appearance yesterday, which was a big move on his part. Mm-hmm. He's got an album coming out that day and didn't show up to TRL.
Right.
And I love this. So MTV finally puts out a statement last night. I got it on my BlackBerry. And they say, you know, what do you think? You think they slammed him or do you think they took the high road?
MTV?
Yeah.
Well, rock and roll would suggest that they slammed him, but they usually take the high road. I'll say the high road.
Danny?
I'll say that I've seen the people that run MTV and they're all on a high road.
I know it starts dearest N-word.
Yeah. That, you know, some people think that's a diss.
Other than that, they go the high road.
Yeah, they took the high road. It's a very long statement, but I'll just shorten. Basically, it says, Kanye West is a visionary performer, and he didn't let his fans down at this year's VMAs. And then they ended it by saying, MTV has a long and collaborative relationship with Kanye, and we hope and look forward to continuing that meaningful relationship.
There's a third road they should take, which is the Are You High road.
Mm.
We control the universe. You want to sell records. Mm. How about you just shut your pie hole, kiss up, do some TRL, and we'll move some product. And when I do hear about these disputes, and I say this about once every 2 months, sometimes I do think the terrorists are right. Sometimes when I see Kanye arguing with big fake boobed Pam Anderson up on stage and Kid Rock punching Tommy Lee, yeah, and all the talk and all the bling and all the feelings hurt and all the much ado about nothing. This is zero. These are millionaires arguing over nothing while other people are living on dirt floors, mm-hmm, and trying to figure out what they can use in place of a prosthetic limb that they don't have. I do sort of think, once in a while, the terrorists have a point about our society.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
They shouldn't blow us up, but point well taken. I understand.
That was Kanye again, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
What? I mean, the guy.
I think it might have
been
news.
He's rich.
I'll tell you my other theory I have every once in a while. He's actually a short, white, Jewish performance artist from San Francisco who created a rapper named Kanye West to screw with us.
Ah, so his name's really like Harry Weist?
Herbert Weist, but yes.
Herbert Weist.
Yes. I've said too much. Continue.
I've said too much.
Well, you know, listen, whatever the deal is with MTV taking the high road, Kanye being PO'd, and, you know, in there he was even talking about Britney. You caught that he thinks MTV exploited Britney's performance. Well, whatever the deal is, it doesn't really matter because MTV's so happy. The VMAs are up 23% from last year, mm-hmm, and MTV's website is up 40% the day after. It got 40% more hits than its record high day. So,
right.
huge because everyone wanted to go and see the Britney train wreck.
Well, that's
again.
The beauty. You know, if you're MTV, you don't have to worry about whether she's ready to perform or not. You just have to worry about whether she signed on the dotted line. We'll announce she's going to do the show. If she's a train wreck, fine.
Yeah, awesome. Come on.
Yeah. Awesome. And if she's not, well, awesome.
But I love that, the aftermath. People are saying, you know, there's a whole theory where, you know, MTV shouldn't have put Britney on. It was premature. Listen, I agree. It was totally premature. Britney was in no way ready for a comeback. She didn't even go anywhere. We see her every day.
She's not driving a school bus with special needs right. kids and getting out of rehab. She's going up on stage with a bunch of drunken rich people and trying to entertain them for 4.5 mm-hmm. minutes. Who cares?
Which isn't that
not
hard.
Ready for what?
If you're drunk and rich, you're probably already in a fairly good mood.
I'm in a good mood when I'm drunk and rich.
I'm in a pretty good mood when I'm drunk and broke.
Drunk and rich, horrible country duo, no, but a great of state of mind. Hey, you want to see Drunk and Rich over at Wompoppers? No, thanks.
But come on, if you are MTV and, you know, you've got a call on line two, Britney's confirmed, what are you going to say? No? Of course you're going to put her on.
Yeah,
you're
you don't
train wreck on our
not
stage.
Not so fast. Let me get my jeweler's loop out, and I want an analysis of her urine. No, what? It's like we're going to announce she's on there, and hopefully she'll be fatter and sloppy. Than ever. Turns out their prayers were answered.
Can I say though
my
theory? And I'm not trying to defend Britney, but if you look closely, you guys, all jokes aside, her boot, the heel on her boot was broken.
Mm.
And so she was, if you watch the top of the show, when she turns around and she's like, it's Britney, bitch,
right?
And she's got the blue contacts and the bad extensions. For a second, like at the tight shot on her face is pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts it off and you're like, oh my God, Britney's back. I didn't think she went anywhere, but she's back right now. She is hotter than ever.
Exactly what came out of my mouth. Yeah,
she's working the stage and about 12 seconds in, it's like, wobble, wobble. She wobbles a bit on the stage.
Mm.
And if you watch it like I do in slow-mo and zoom into the boot,
wow.
like I did, because I have way too much time on my hands because my fiance lives 3,000 miles away, you see that her heel does wobble. And then after that, it's all downhill. And Britney just can't. Because the last thing she wanted to happen was her heel breaks on live television. And then she's just the fat slob, like legs spread open on the stage.
Well, interesting. And I'll take it as a partial excuse. But it makes me have two thoughts. One is she still could have sold it with the boot, I do believe, certainly from the waist up. And secondly, you got to get a vibrator because you got way.
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, I
way
was
too much
Britney.
Time. No, you got way too much time. Way too much time on your hands.
Okay.
But I do appreciate the Britney boot. Theory, and
I'm
I haven't
serious,
heard it
Adam.
Anywhere else. I've heard many other excuses.
Can
I've
I
not
say,
heard that one.
And people in their cars or wherever right now are saying, hey, you know, come on, she's a performer. She's used to being on stage. She's worn high boots before, sister. But you know what? Britney, I have way too much time. If you watch her performances on stage, she always wears these like big, chunky platform boots like
yes.
a lot of these performers do.
Seen
you could literally...
They have the stripper heel on.
The stripper heel. There's a reason strippers wear those boots because you could do whatever you want in those boots. You could like skip across the stage.
Tall.
Yeah, but you could skip across the stage. It's like wearing tennis shoes. I'm
all
not
right.
kidding.
I'm going to look at it, but here's...
She's wearing stilettos, Adam. 5-inch stilettos with no platform. They're very, very unstable.
You know what? These
what? Let me
are
see yours.
3.5-inch heels.
At
and
least.
I can run a road race in them. I can do anything I can do in any pair of shoes in these boots.
But they're a thick, chunky heel.
But
she
one
had
is
little
not,
stilettos.
One has not broken. Are you saying one broke?
If you watch it, one is wobble. Like, every time she stepped, you would see it wobble.
Well, that's because they're only rated up to 175 pounds.
That and the heel was the only thing sober. Okay,
right.
She's wobbling. The heel was staying real still.
Well,
she was a wobbling
yeah,
guy.
That's all right, my all theory. Right.
Because
it's
Adam
not bad.
An analogy yesterday that I didn't really get because I didn't go to a regular school, and you know, you don't see some of the little tiny nuances that people remember from their high school days. And he said there was always that fat cheerleader that couldn't. All the rest of the team would go all the way down to the ground and hit their palm on the floor with the big fat girl go about to about half bent over, and that was it. And then she go, "Yay, team!"
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then he had said that, I can visualize what he meant.
Right.
But then I watched Britney with her own dancers who are hitting their slamming their ass down onto
cervix
the floor and
hitting
jumping
the floor.
Back up. And Britney Spears is maybe bending her knees 3 inches.
Okay, Juliana Devaney, I'm with you on the wardrobe malfunction part, except for I do still feel like there would have been a little more upper body movement, a little more arm, a little more whatever. But all right, that's a partial one. Do you have a second Britney excuse?
No.
Or explanation?
No, I know. I was going to say part, you know, the boot plus medication.
Yeah.
She did seem a little out of it.
She seemed glazed over.
I definitely don't think she was ready for this performance. I really don't. I mean, she's got way too many things to figure out in her life than to be, you know, on a stage. And then I heard that the day before she came to rehearsals, hours late with a frozen margarita in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not how you want to go to rehearsal.
Look, when the dust clears and history gets a chance to take a look back at the Britney Spears phenomenon, I think you'll find someone who's probably less than average intelligence and less than average talent. And I don't mean talent compared to the average person who works at a 7-Eleven. I mean talent compared to other singers that climb the top of the charts. It happens all the time. I don't know why. We're not used to it by now. They're called flashes in the pan. They're people that have the right look, the right time. It's more the situation. It's more the general temperament of the society than it is them. Meaning society was ready for them at this particular time, and then we're done with them.
In a way, I agree with you. In a way, I don't. I agree, obviously, on the timing issue, but, and this is just walking into my own get killed joke, but the fact of the matter is, if I'm supposed to be funny for a living or informed for a living or whatever it is I'm supposed to be for a living, there's probably 15 waiters and waitresses within the sound of my voice that are far better at it than I. They just, and this is what I always say, they just didn't get hit by lightning.
Oh, I was walking on this floor. What are you talking about within the sound of your voice?
Like I said, I'll be walking right into that. But literally, there are people much more capable or probably better with a little training at my job than I. But I used the expression, I got hit by lightning and they didn't. Some people put it, they fell through the net or I fell through the net and they didn't. But I don't think, I think Adam's totally right. She just fell through a net of complete averages, of the most average net in the world, the gaping holes that anybody could have fallen through. But I think stardom is always the fall through the net and get hit
but
by lightning. There's always someone
better.
She has
star quality. I mean, listen, she's not the greatest singer or the greatest dancer, but she's good. I mean,
she's a great
performer. She's talented, you know. For what she is trying to do is appeal to young people. I mean,
here's what I want to liken her to. There was a guy who played in the NFL, and his name was Lawrence Taylor. The original LT, played outside linebacker for the New York Giants in the 80s, maybe into the early 90s. Mm-hmm. He could do himself a sack, a gold medal flower sack of coke, and bang himself 5 strippers, and then go out on Sunday and have 3 sacks. He was an awesome specimen. He couldn't be stopped. He didn't work as hard as the other guys did. He didn't bust his butt. He just did coke. He did hookers. And then he went out on Sundays and kicked ass. There are a few people who can do that. Maybe Whitney Houston can do that.
Maybe
Mariah Carey can do that. Now, Britney is not Lawrence Taylor. Britney is Randy White. Who's Randy White?
Exactly.
Well, Randy White was a white
Dallas
guy
Cowboys,
who played
right?
for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I'm really sorry, honey.
He played for the Dallas Cowboys, and he was an all-star, but I'll tell you why he was an all-star. Because he never left the weight room, and he never stopped running wind sprints, and he never stopped eating his constituted liver pills. Why? He wasn't Lawrence Taylor. He had to bust his ass to play in the NFL, and he worked so hard that he became amongst one of the better linemen in the league. But the day he stopped working hard, well, then he's going out of the game. She is not Lawrence Taylor. She's Randy White.
Okay.
And if she stops busting her ass, which she did about 3 or 4 years ago, then she's going to get out of the game, and that's what's happened because she doesn't have LT's God-given talent. So she stopped busting her ass. She stopped working out. She stopped rehearsing. She stopped practicing. She started eating fast food and started eating prescription medications and started crapping out kids. And now she's out of the league.
Yeah. That's the key, Adam. Actually, Adam, I don't know if you know this, but you changed my life. A while ago, I was here.
Hold on. Play some music.
I swore to God I wasn't going to talk about this today.
Really?
Yeah.
If you could cry.
What?
If you could just work up a tear while you tell me this story,
much,
it would
boss?
Be awesome.
How much?
All right, go ahead.
To make her cry.
No, leave her alone.
I might
sorry,
just naturally,
because
this is serious. My all assistant right. Matthew's out there. He knows all about this because he witnessed
cry!
The whole thing.
Let's hear it.
About, I don't know what it was, 6 months ago or so, I came here, mm-hmm. and we were all joking around and having a good time, and then you very seriously told me on the air, might I add, mm-hmm. that, no offense, G, but you look good, but you definitely gained weight. You mm-hmm. gained about like 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And no one had ever really said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so it was like a challenge. And I said, wow, you know, my head does look bigger, you know, because you had told me to, my head was bigger than usual.
So he's got your fat and a lollipop head so far.
Yes.
This is a touching story.
What I explained quickly to Juliana DePondi, because I suffer from the same syndrome, is if I put on 10 pounds, I put on 8 pounds of it onto my head.
Yeah.
John Travolta has this. There's many people that have this. When a woman has it who's on camera for a living, she has to stay abnormally thin so that her head, when the camera already adds 10 pounds, doesn't look like John Travolta's head.
Yeah. Especially
on camera.
When your co-host is Ryan Seacrest, who's got a tiny little peanut
head. His head is like an angel fish.
Yeah.
That I know. You're talking to the guy who sat next to Dr. Drew, who had a peanut head for all those years and looked great on camera. When you're sitting next to someone. Now, when Jeff Garland comes in here from Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'll show you a guy. It'd make you real happy
great.
To stand next to on camera. Dr. Drew, Ryan Seacrest, these guys with the perpetual chiseled cheeks and the face that looks like they closed their mouth and are sucking and inhaling.
Uh-huh.
Your head looks twice as big next to theirs. Yes.
Right. If I worked alongside you or Kimmel, I'd be golden.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you.
The point is you must be abnormally thin in order for your face to look average on camera next to Ryan Seacrest.
Right. So you'd pointed this out, and I, I went home that day, and I basically challenged myself, and I said, you know what, I'm going to lose a little weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I'd accepted that I had definitely gained some weight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And things weren't going so well in my life at the time. And then so I started getting in shape, and I would hear your voice in my head every day telling me that my face looked like I'd been underwater for a week, dead in a lake, and that I came up and it was all swollen and puffy.
To be fair to me, I said dead for 5 days.
And to be fair to me,
I said a week.
Comparatively speaking, this is sweet talking.
That's true. Anyways, and then, so I got in shape and I lost 10 pounds. And
you fat coos.
I feel better than ever. Mm-hmm. And when I see myself on TV or I see pictures of myself, you know, I just feel great. And this is all thank you to you. And it's going back to Brittany. And I think Brittany needs to get in shape. And I lose a little weight. And I think that's really what's making her upset. Because looking back, that's what always kind of was, you know, irking me and upsetting me until you set me straight.
Well, I think I said, my dear, just because I know I'm not evil, I probably said to you, you look fantastic in person. But because the camera does what the camera does, you look bigger on camera. So I saw you, I was looking. There's no way I was looking. Now, listen, Julianne.
What?
You have that same thing that most women have when you say, listen, baby, I think you're better on camera than you are behind the typewriter. They go, oh, he called me stupid. You know what I mean? And when someone says, hey, you look hot in person, but on camera you look a little heavier, he called me fat. I know you weren't anywhere near fat. I know you looked good in person. I was looking at you, and I would never be so rude as to say, wow, you look fat in person. What I was saying to you is probably the same thing that's true with Britney Spears. If you saw Britney Spears sitting by the pool at the Hard Rock the following day in a bikini drinking some slushy, you'd probably be pretty into her. The camera makes you look bigger. I run into people all the time. They go, oh, you lost weight. And I go, I didn't lose a pound. And they go, oh, I thought you were heavier. And I realize you only know me from seeing me on TV where I look bigger than I am in real life.
Yeah.
So that's what I was explaining.
Now, in your defense, you did actually, because it was kind of like a backhanded compliment. You said to me, you've gained some weight, you look good, but it looks good. That's what you said.
Well, that's what happens.
That's what a backhanded compliment from Corolla.
Well, when everyone sees
backhands me, and I say thank you.
Lose the weight, chubby.
When people see these celebrities in real life, especially the women, the first thing they go is, oh my God, she's emaciated. I didn't know she was so small. I didn't know she was so skinny. Because they look healthy on camera because they're tan and the camera adds 10 pounds. Well, Juliana, whatever yes. I could do to make your life better,
no,
even if it was being cruel at
your
expense, it all turned out fine with my particular brand of tough love.
But you need Brittany on here. I challenge Brittany to come on. I think that you can set her straight and change her life.
Oh, I could definitely straighten her out.
When she first started to break down, I deadly seriously, because I don't believe she's a drug addict. I don't believe she's an alcoholic. I believe she had a couple of terrible years with that guy and hashed out kids and had a little breakdown. I absolutely and dead seriously sent her a private letter when she didn't answer. I went on a bunch of talk shows and said, move in with me, my wife and kids. Everybody's sober in my house. Mm-hmm. Everybody's pretty happy in my house. Of course, then we got divorced and I beat the kids. But that was before that. We literally did.
Compared to third world nations, folks are fed and they're happy.
Like, up until she said the words, I want a divorce, mm-hmm. she acted happy.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said these words.
People act happy in my
head. Oh, yeah. She said these words to me. Exactly. I don't mean to change something from... I really did invite Britney Spears because my life was a train wreck. I couldn't live like that anymore. But then my wife said to me, when she asked for the divorce, she said, honey, I just need to tell you this. I want a divorce. I don't love you. I haven't loved you in 5 years because of the things you've done. I thought I could forgive you when you were a year sober. That's today. And I still don't like you. So I'd like a divorce immediately. So literally up until the day she said, I'd like a divorce and I haven't been in love with you for 5 years, she just lived in a mansion, spent some money, and had a good time.
Right.
You know, she hasn't committed to, okay, I don't like that guy that much, but he works a lot.
Well, Brittany, if you're listening, come on over and listen to the Ace Man. I'm, relatively happy. My wife is only lightly beaten. And you can hang out. I'll make fun of how big your head is, and you'll never want to eat again. I'll chain you in the vomitorium with Juliana DePan.
Yes, exactly. It's fun in there. But, so that's it. So, but you know what? We can say whatever we want about Britney. But ratings were up.
Yeah.
Kanye's mad.
Yeah.
And that was the news.
Thank you, whoever you are. The news. You, Teresa Strasser.
Poor Juliana DePani worked on 16 stories, got to the half of the first one before I weighed in. And
weighed in, literally.
Yes, literally weighed in, and that was the end of that. The good news is fat in the
person.
9 o'clock hour, you'll have plenty of stories from the 7 o'clock hour that you don't have to work on. Mila Kunis. Mila is one of these people that has a very small head.
And a very big heart.
Perhaps her and Ryan Seacrest should get together and give birth to a new race called the small heads that look great on camera. Dr. Drew could be the honorary physician. Said it before, I'll say it again. This is what happened with Kirstie Alley. Her head wouldn't grow for the first 100 pounds she put on. Her ass got huge, but her head remained small. She's one of these weird people who can get fat, and her head didn't gain any weight. So every time she saw herself on camera, she didn't go, I need to lose weight. She said, I need to get a bigger, more billowy skirt to put on. Whereas I put on 8 pounds, I see myself on camera and go, wow, lard ass, you better do something.
It's terrible.
Maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's a blessing.
Some of us go.
You'll
to the
never
gym.
Get more than 10 pounds overweight because you'll have to look at your big fat puss in the camera.
You're right.
Hey, look, you fat pig.
All right, Moonface, we need to take ourselves a break. Mila Kunis from The Family Guy and from That 70s Show and many other projects in next.
Danny Bonaducci and in for Teresa Strasser, he's Juliana DePandy. Now, from Family Guy and That 70s Show, the star of Moving McAllister in theaters this Friday.
Hello, boys. It is me, the object of your desire.
Mila Kunis on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Mila.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Mila is starring in a new movie. I'm going to say starring.
Well...
What the hell was that? You got a parrot in here
hanging out with me?
Do you know what I've been getting out of a cold lately? And all that's left is this. Yeah, that's exactly what I sound like.
Well, Mila's obviously on a different clock than we are.
Why can't you tell?
Yes. She's on the 20-something clock, young people
Get your sprint clock. Apparently they keep different times from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mila's in the showbiz doing features, getting residuals. Mila, here's her schedule. She likes to get up by noon so she can get her huge residual check from that 70s show and make it back in a house coat in time to.
I'm not saying you're wrong. However, I play a video game at night, mm-hmm. and I lost track of time. Mm. So I went to sleep 2.5 hours ago, hours ago.
Yes.
And so I'm still...
You're talking to a dude who for over 10 years had a job where he got home at 12:30
at night.
Yes, I
can't complain. Listen, I'm not saying anything.
I'm with you. I know where you're at. And people always do that thing where they go, well, you just, I'd go, wow, I'm getting picked up at 5 a.m. I got a flight tomorrow at LAX and I get home at 12:30 at night. And they always go, well, just go to bed right when you get home. And I go, what time do you get home from work? And they go, about 7:15. And I go, could you go to bed at 7:15? And they go, no. And I go, okay.
Thank you. I'm with you.
So living the high life, having a good time.
Totally.
Working right across the street.
And deserving it, I might add.
Over at the Family Guy, which is a great environment.
Oh, yeah, we are down the street.
You're across the street.
You're at my agent's office, actually.
From,
there you have it.
Where we are. And as far as that 70s show... we don't have to get into the particulars, but do you need to work again?
No.
I know you want to work again. I know you enjoy working.
But
do you need to?
Yes. Or for my own self work?
No, just financially.
No.
You're good.
Financially, I'm fine.
That's nice.
Eat well, travel well.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming because when the show was on, you made sure you were traveling well and eating well and staying at the Four Seasons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Can you do that on a normal schedule, not the rest of your life, every day I'm at the Four Seasons?
Yeah, like so.
Can you live that lifestyle forever on the dough you have?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That is great.
I hate you by now. But
because Bonaducci left the Partridge Family $14 in a Keith Partridge lunch pail.
I did not.
You didn't get the lunch pail.
I didn't get a goddamn lunch pail. I got a lunch pail about 3 years ago from a fan who sent it for me to autograph it, and I wrote back, sorry, man, didn't get one of these.
No, it is.
Then I went to his kid's birthday party.
That 70s show, what it run for? 7 seasons?
Eight
seasons.
Yeah.
But in a way, very analogous to the Partridge Family. Partridge Family didn't run for as many years, but had probably more viewers just because it was a different time.
40 million a week every Friday.
Yeah, so Danny and there were board games and lunch pails.
We weren't a phenomenon. I mean, it was very different.
Yeah, you were a successful show.
Yeah, people watched us. People, you know.
And definitely knew who it was, but not a phenomenon. Yeah. But the point is you are now set for life.
Yeah.
And Bonaducci has to listen to me make short jokes. For 4 hours every morning.
Do you know what's funny about that? Just for a moment of clarity? I don't.
And moon face jokes with Julian DePanis here.
I absolutely don't.
Oh, you don't?
No,
okay.
The number in my doing radio, number one in L.A. for 6 years and the number one in Chicago for 6 years before that, I could retire and never work again. I just happen to think your short jokes are really funny.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I don't need to do Sneezy. Yeah. I don't need to do dick, man. I'm also... Didn't I do you say I wrote my wife a check for $3 million? That means that's less than the half of the cash I had on me.
All right.
We got a divorce, so...
If you want to write me a check, I'm just saying. I'm open to it.
I'll write you a check for $100,000.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Set for life.
You'll earn it, darling.
Mila Kunis. Let me ask you another set for life question. And by the way, before your candor and your honesty, which we appreciate, Moving McAllister is the name of the movie.
Yeah.
It has John Heder in it, which is kind of cool. Napoleon Dynamite, of course. And Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
You want to talk about range in a cast.
Dude, I love
Napoleon Dynamite and the blind swordsman.
No.
In the same movie.
Yeah.
The guy from Blade Runner, man.
The Hitcher.
Do you know, I quote him all the time.
If I
do something like really, really bad when I'm first dating a girl and they're starting to realize what they're getting into and that I might be mad,
uh-huh.
I look at them and I put my hand on their shoulder and I look at them and I say, I've done questionable things.
You're not Sir Quoker.
Which is what he says when he's talking about ripping the lungs and eyes out of the guy.
Blade Runner came out.
You guys should have him on your show. He's very nice.
Oh, we have.
We have,
and he's a cool guy. But John, it's like usually cast sort of have a theme, either comedy or serious. Theme. Well, what is the story about?
If you could articulate it.
I like that sound effect. And by the way, that's what I was going to write you the 100 grand check for.
Is this going to air?
No, oh, you're good. No.
We had a little F word bomb when Mila hurt herself.
I've done questionable things.
So, Mila, what is the story about?
So here's what it's about.
So this chick with Tourette's.
In, let's say, 50 F words or less.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I can't believe I just cursed on the radio.
Sorry.
Okay.
That's the middle of the night for you.
Yeah, it is. This is my bedtime.
Right.
Okay, so it's a road trip comedy. Mm-hmm. And this kid, Ben Gurley, has to take his boss's stuff cross-country from Florida to L.A., boss being Rutger Hauer, my uncle. Mm-hmm. And on the way, he has to pick up his niece, or, yeah, me.
That's
and
you.
So then we have to go on this road trip to L.A., and then hilarity ensues. And and John Heder is a guy we pick up on the road.
He is a hitchhiker. Turning out, you know, when you saw Napoleon Dynamite, you were like, wow, this is a really funny movie, and that guy's a flash in the pan, and then five really funny comedies that made $1 billion later, you go, maybe John Heder, not the flash in the pan.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he is good. Yeah. Speaking of Set for Life, we're just talking about Mila Kunis in here and that 70s show and the residual checks and all that. Still dating Macaulay Culkin.
Mm-hmm.
And
how's he doing?
He's great. New York. He's great.
Like, do you two just sit around and laugh about how you never need to work again and you're both barely 23?
No, he needs to work, doesn't he?
No.
Why would he need to work?
He does not need to work.
He was very, very young.
His story gets confused. He has nothing ever happened with his money.
I realize that, but the money he made, can I take a random guess? You don't have to say yes or no, but my random guess would be he's got $5 million.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
okay.
Well, he got paid more than that for Home Alone 2.
Yeah, but who's that?
No, but that's where the story gets confused.
Just a dick. He wasn't a money stealing guy.
Yeah.
Well, by the time, correct me if I'm wrong, but by the time Macaulay came around, they had enough rules in place where moms and pops couldn't go through your money.
No, they've had those forever. The Coogan Law is from 1917.
But
what it is, it's only 25% of your earnings have to go into the bank, and there are loopholes to get to it. Say your kid is making $1 million a week on a huge hit series, and the father and the mother make $22,000 a year combined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That millionaire child has a right to live in a wonderful home. They earn it. Mm-hmm. So if you can't afford it, you can use the kid's money because the kid says, okay, and I deserve it, and the court will agree with that. My daughter does not deserve to eat ramen every day. She earns $1 million. Mm. Let's take her to a restaurant.
Who's ramen? Oh, okay. Yeah, Top Ramen.
Hey-o.
That's my porn name. I used to do Asian porn. Hey, Mila Kunis. Macaulay Culkin probably made $100 million if he made a penny when he was doing a lot of that work. Oh, yes. We forget.
So I'm not going to see him next round on Celebrity Boxing with me?
No. And if his dad wasn't evil, well, then he has quite a bit of money sitting around, and Mila gets her checks, and you two must just sit around and have video parties till the wee hours every morning.
Well, Mila, you know I love you.
She's saying yes.
I'm just nodding.
You know that I love you, and I've told you the story of why I love you so many times, but I just say and raise a glass or an energy drink to Mr. Macaulay Culkin?
Oh, yeah.
No, his father.
Oh.
What?
My new show on VH1, that name was my main pitch.
Oh,
you don't want to be Macaulay Culkin's dad. That's how I can save you.
Well, why do people get confused with his story?
Because, as Danny, I'm sure, can tell you, those child actors have very similar stories. And so when you kind of mix them together, they all, you know, people assume that money's always an issue. It's an assumption. In Mac's case, his dad was just not the nicest human being, from what I've heard.
Right.
The money part was not a part of it, you know, but it gets confused with...
It gets confused.
With a lot of people.
Mine was that I turned 18, got all the money from the Partridge Family, and became a freak and a drug addict.
Right.
I made $400 a week from the Partridge Family for 26 weeks a year, only for 4 years, and no residuals. I had no money ever. Mm-hmm. I didn't take drugs until my mid to late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go like, ooh, I'm the Partridge Family guy, look at me go wild.
Right.
Being a child star rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Being an ex-child star sucks ass.
Mm-hmm.
Being a famous busboy sucks. That's right. When you want to start doing a little blow.
Well, is Macaulay happy to sit on his pile of money and do interesting projects, things that are fascinating to him as an artist, or does he want to get back into the mainstream?
I don't... I could. Oh my God, really? Whoa, awesome. I mean, I don't want to speak on his behalf, but I can honestly say I think that he never wants to be back in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah.
And is it surreal for you having sex with the Home Alone guy? Because I would find that surreal.
It's weird for me when I do him.
Yeah.
Is it awkward
Danny
for you?
Says
I can see how that would be weird.
No, because,
yeah.
You know, I want him to do that face because look at this perfect face.
Oh! Yeah. Do that in the moment of passion.
You know it, baby.
You guys are terrible.
No. Have you gotten over that? You must have watched Home Alone when you were a little girl.
No, I didn't. I was in Russia.
They didn't have Home Alone in Russia?
No wonder they're Russians.
Adam. No, not in 1990. They didn't have Home Alone in Russia. No.
The hell?
No.
No wonder.
I like him. I like
crumbled.
The way he leads his life.
I do, too.
Private. Yeah, I like that.
Well, that's finally where I've got her.
He could be one of these schmucks, you know, on every red carpet and just sitting there and trying to do
he
a million reality shows.
He is the most well-adjusted human being you will ever meet. And I promise
again,
you.
Say that again. I didn't hear it.
He is the most well-adjusted person. And I'm telling not because I've known. I mean, I'm just... Honestly, you'll ever meet in your life.
I would believe that coming from Mila. She was the reason I always thank her so much is she's very busy on the set of That 70s Show, running around like crazy. And I did a couple of guest shots and brought my kids because they were fans.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't waste money, like stop what she was doing, waste the cruise money. But if she didn't have to be doing anything else, she was playing with my kids and just being the nicest girl in the whole world. This is a teenage movie star.
Right.
Stopping everything she's doing every time she gets a chance to be nice
well,
to my
Well, I mean,
kids.
Look at her.
And I will never... I always think
be,
of that when I think of you.
But yes. She could be one... You know how easily
oh, she
could
be
one of
like
these
that.
Girls... Who's running around without her panties on, doing the whole, you know, thing.
I offered her a check for 100 grand.
Mouth to God's ears,
and she's
yeah.
not doing it. So, no, if you're saying that he's well-adjusted, I believe it, because you're well-adjusted. You seem very well-adjusted.
And you must hear this a lot, although I've never thought it about you, but now looking at you straight on, look quite a bit like Angelina Jolie as I look at you.
At 7 in the morning, honestly.
Really, you really, really, really do. Mila.
Well, Brad Beater.
Mila Kunis.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
it's
early. It's your
bedtime. I'm with Danny.
I'm close enough to joke with her. How cool is that? I'd have never said that to someone I didn't know well.
I feel like I could masturbate to Brad beating Angelina Jolie. I really,
you know,
I really do.
Two drinks in, I could masturbate to Brad.
You'd be looking at me two drinks in. Moving McAllister.
Oh, I'm getting sober, boss.
Is the name of the movie. It's released this Friday.
Yeah.
That is this Friday, September 14th. Go make a... She doesn't work because she has to. She works because she wants to.
She
thus,
does it for you people.
It must be a good project.
No!
There it is.
That's what it was.
There it is.
There
wow.
is where it was. Nice job, Paul Bryan. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll do a little something called Mr. Brightside.
Nice.
You call up 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your dilemma. Tell us your problem. Hell, Juliana DePanny, maybe you have a situation that has left you less than satisfied. I will put it into perspective.
Really?
I will spin it around, and when I'm done with you, you'll never feel better about your petty problem.
Okay.
866-901-ADAM. We'll do Mr. Brightside next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where Adam is Mr. Brightside. You call in with a problem at 866-901-ADAM, and the Ace Man will put a happy spin on it.
You have a son in jail?
He met this little girl on MySpace. She lied about her age, and now he's got 18 counts of statutory sexual stuff.
18 counts, right.
She was 15, but she looked like she was 19, like she said. Doesn't that make her a predator, too?
Let yourself in. I have some Paul's cookies and sweet tea.
I'm putting you in the hopper for Mom of the Year, bragging to your friends. He dotted every I and crossed every T when he was registering as a sex offender. He is a model son.
866-901-ADAM. Here's Mr. Brightside on the Adam Carolla Show.
God bless Mila Kunis. She's hanging in. She's going to sit there and watch me gab for another 20 minutes instead of going back to her beautiful bed with Mac in it.
No!
She's going to have a Big Mac attack later on today. Mila Kunis, Moving McAllister is the name of the movie, out this Friday. All right, Mr. Brightside. People call in. They give me their relative problems. I put a happy spin on them.
Julie, call.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
All right, let's start with Alex. Alex, what's the problem?
I've had two knee surgeries this year in 2007,
mm-hmm.
and the worst part about it is they both happened because I was drunk at a party messing around with a friend.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
So, well, the first time...
You guys got in a bad position?
Well, no, we were just messing around, and he didn't take me down or anything, but I twisted my leg the wrong way. And so my
hearing this.
Sports injury.
Yeah.
He went down like a hero. All right, speaking of heroes, plenty of guys coming back from Iraq with bloody stumps where their legs used to be. You have a couple arthroscopic surgeries because you're playing grab ass after drinking a few tall boys with your buddies at some party in Encino, Crimea River. At least you have a knee to have surgery on. That's number one. Number two, self-inflicted wound, friendly fire. You did it to yourself. To me, big difference between me wrecking my own car and somebody smashing into my car while I'm asleep. If I get to do it myself, I'm not nearly as upset. I go out and screw myself up out playing a little pickup football or playing some ultimate frisbee on a weekend. I'm upset that I blew my knee out, but at least I did it doing what I wanted to do as opposed to, Galooly coming up and hitting me with a softball bat when I'm leaving the rink. All I'm saying is Alex had the choice to get drunk and screw his knee up, and he still has a knee, versus the heroes coming back from Iraq who didn't have a choice, did it anyway, and don't even have a knee to be surgically repaired anymore. You should be ashamed of yourself for complaining, Alex.
Yeah, I feel like a douche.
All right.
No, you are.
You are. And not the bag, the nozzle, as we've talked many times. I want you to start bringing this up on E, Juliana DePanny. Don't call anyone a douchebag, douche nozzle. More insulting. The bag, that's just hanging on the door or sitting up on the rack over there. But the nozzle, now you're talking about business.
Yeah.
Mila?
Yeah.
Do you have any problems?
This is the best segment ever.
You're feeling
people
better?
People call in to be berated. This is brilliant.
Berated? I made him feel better about himself.
That's why I just raised my hand. I've been working here. I don't consider myself the new guy anymore. It's been 9 months now. And I figure I get the stuff. I used to, he'd just say, here's what we're doing. And I'd go home and go, I hope I know what he meant.
Right.
But now I do. Mm-hmm. But when did you start doing Mr. Brightside where people went home and blew their brains out when they were done talking to you?
Well, he has...
That's a new little twist.
It's a little tougher love. It'll vary from call to call. But this guy told me he injured his knee getting drunk and wrestling with his friend at a party.
Well, yeah, just
and I hate to use the cliche, but at the end of the day, he should feel better about having a knee. That's the way it works.
What was it, nozzle?
Douche nozzle.
What a douche nozzle.
I want you to call Seacrest a douche nozzle on E
will.
Tonight.
Little pinhead.
You little pinhead douche nozzle.
Oh, no. What did I miss?
On your way out.
My co-host, Ryan Seacrest. He's got a little head. Peanut head. And it looks very little next to mine.
We were discussing that when... Look, TV is all relative. If you work... here's an example. Andy Richter, who sat next to Conan O'Brien for about 3 years... Everyone thought Andy Richter was short and fat. And when you meet Andy Richter, you go, wow, that guy's 6 foot tall.
Yeah,
he's not short. He seemed like a midget because Conan O'Brien is 6'7".
Right.
So when you saw the two standing on stage, you did a math which made Conan O'Brien 6'2 or 6'3, which then made Andy Richter 5'5".
Yeah, see, Mila, on my show, I'm standing next to Ryan Seacrest. And so when I see people in real life, they go, wow, you're a lot smaller in real life. Because next to him, he's like 90 pounds.
I get the same thing, though.
Really?
People are like, oh, you're much skinnier in real life. And I'm like, come again?
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, you're just, like, skinny and little. I was like, when was I fat and big?
You know what? Seacrest should be banned from TV because I said this all through American Idol last year. Poor what's-her-name, the 17-year-old chick that was kicking everyone's ass, was wide-shouldered and tall and had big upper arms.
Yeah.
And when they would have her stand next to Seacrest with her 4-inch heels and her big guns hanging out of her blouse.
She's like a wrestler.
She looked like, she looked like she's going to hit him with a folding chair any second.
I tell you, watch E! News tonight. 7 o'clock, E! News. Watch Ryan and I standing next to each other.
I'll tell you something interesting.
Really?
You'll see. My head looks like a giant grapefruit. You saw the grapefruit I brought in this morning. Mm-hmm. It was giant. That's my head. And then Ryan's like a little raisinette.
But it's something about Ryan. I was in, what's that store? The Von Dutch store, getting like one of those cool, very expensive t-shirts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said, Ryan Seacrest was just in here. He bought that same t-shirt. And they said something about we got him, like a small or an extra small.
He's gay.
Small. Mm-hmm. And they said, let me go get you. And they brought me a large. And I looked at him and I said, it's just the way I come off. Go get me a small. Ryan Seacrest and I are the same size.
Wow. Yeah.
Everybody thinks I'm big.
Actually, yeah.
I could just see them talking to Juliana DePandy when Ryan Seacrest's contract doesn't work out and he decides to move on one day. Co-host, have you given it some thought? I don't know. John Goodman, Lovitz. that guy looks like Herman Munster, used to play Ray Romano's brother. I don't know.
Brad.
Just off the top of my head, Brad.
Oh my
God. Those guys are funny.
I'm all over. You're so
John
right.
Goodman, funny as the day is long.
You're right. I'm going to start compiling a list of big-headed actors.
If you could get, yes, if you could, I don't know what Shaq doing. Is he still in the league?
You're
if
so
you could
right.
stand next to John Goodman, people would go, who's that adorable little pixie who hosts the E! Show?
Dang
instead,
it. Swear it's the downfall of my life. This Seacrest guy, this freaking Seacrest. But you know what? People think I'm crazy when I bring this up. But watch the Emmys. He's hosting the Emmys this weekend, and every actor is going to feel my pain when they have to stand next to that.
Every
head.
Chick who wants sleeveless, who has just a little bit of weight on her upper arm and a broad shoulder for a woman, is going to stand next to him and look like a gargantuan woman.
Not me. He makes me feel like a hero. I strut on out next to that guy, and I weigh almost exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a little taller.
Mm-hmm.
And right when you're looking at us together, you still think I'm bigger than he is. Mm. He walks like a little guy.
Really?
Unless he straps his money to his shoes, and then he's like 8 feet tall.
Juliana be like, what's the fridge doing? really, that guy was dynamic. One of the best nose tackles in the league. Played for the... Let's get here. Let's get these guys in and see who looks best next to me. All right, let's talk to Tony. Tony?
Yeah,
sorry for that digression. What's up?
Well, I have a problem. I don't know if it's too much cheese or what, but these hemorrhoids are killing me, man. I can't sit. I can't stand comfortably. I need you to turn it around, Mr. Brightside. I need some help.
I'm going to turn those hemorrhoids around. Well, I'll tell you the problem with hemorrhoids.
Round frown upside down.
Most things that are painful garner sympathy, not laughter. You tell someone you have hemorrhoids, they laugh. Even though you tell them you have a compound fracture of your femur, they don't laugh. Although there could be nothing more painful than a hemorrhoid. The good news about hemorrhoids is you can get out of as much work as you want with it because it's an embarrassing thing. It's all we have. You know what it is? You women, you have your periods. You want to go ahead and float that period boat in front of your boss, he'll back right off.
Yeah.
You tell him I can't make it in Friday to stand next to that dwarf angelfish Seacrest.
Oh,
makes me look like some kind of mascot head. Look like the 49ers mascot standing next to this guy.
I swear.
I can't make it in because I got a little feminine whatever going on. He'll back off right away and give you a pass. This is our period. We get to call the boss and go, I think I got a hemorrhoid going, and he'll back off immediately. No one's going to go, liar, get in here, let me check your bung. No one's ever going to say that. So,
I don't know, man. If I thought somebody was seriously having their period, I would. He's the size of a tampon. I think he can solve the problem.
You mean you'll use?
Just insert him.
Oh.
You have not heard that Ryan Seacrest is extra absorbent. You've never heard that.
Wait till he opens a can of whoop ass on you about it, dude.
That's what I'm waiting on, dude. I figure I'm doing okay money wise now, but if I could ever make Ryan Seacrest mad enough to swing first and then eat him for dinner, I'd just piss people would start sending me their money.
Well, you'd probably get a lot of words of praise from those who enjoyed the Super Bowl. I say enjoyed, past tense. Melinda?
Yeah.
What's your situation? Let Mr. Brightside put a spin on it for you.
So I'm sure you've heard a little bit about the mortgage meltdown here in Southern California.
Yes.
7.5% right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
On my new condo.
So I work in the industry, and we've done, massive layoffs. We've done salary cuts. So I can't make my mortgage payments anymore because I'm not making what I used to be making.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm forced that I'm not going to be able to sell my home either because there's going to be nobody that can get a loan to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your home? I'm looking to buy.
Orange County.
Linwood.
Nope, never mind. I retract. Nope. I retract. Never mind.
Sorry.
Continue.
Well,
that's going to solve your problems.
Seriously,
for you.
We could hook you up with Bonaducci. He has a beautiful Spanish place up in Las Feliz. It's going on the market. Not you, Melinda.
It's on the market for $4 or $5. The guy from flipping out the TV show said if it had a pool, it'd be worth $6 million.
Mm-hmm. Put a pool in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He said if it had a pool filled with $1 million, it would be worth $6 million.
Then the last time he was on the show, he said, but if you sold it for $3.9 million, you'd move it today.
Hey, Melinda?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, baby doll. Yes, it's tough for some homeowners. They have a mortgage payment to make. The interest rates are tough, so on and so forth. You must stick it out. But you have problems because you're a homeowner.
Right.
See, you could be calling me from your crappy apartment where it seems like most people I know live. So at least you have home-related problems. Anyone who calls and says, I got a pipe that burst, I got a roof that leaked, I got a mortgage payment that needs to be made, at least it's on something that you own or at least have a stake in versus my apartment roof is leaking. So, Melinda, this is a problem, but it's a problem concerning your home, not your landlord's home. You understand?
Yeah.
And for that, you need to be grateful and shut up. All right. I'll do one more. Do you want to do, let's see, we'll go to line one. Will?
Hey, how's it going?
Thousand Oaks. What's happening, my brother?
Hey, man, well, I can't talk to you. But, I'm starting my new job pretty soon, a government job. And I'm going to have to cut down on all the things that make life good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like drugs and stuff. But
you're taking a little pay cut?
Well, I'm getting paid more.
Oh, but you're getting tested?
Yeah, I'm going to be tested. But, mm-hmm. You know, if I'm lucky, if I get a job with the DEA, they might actually start paying me to do drugs.
Mm. So, get a job as a lab rat?
No, not as a lab rat, really, but going undercover and stuff, you know?
Uh-huh.
And can you do that now? Because there were times that's when your cover was blown, when they said, okay, do the drugs, and the cop couldn't, because you couldn't get a conviction.
Of course, but they want you to have experience with how the drugs are done and, you know, how to do them and how, you know, they don't want you to...
All I know is from the shield.
I'm not in deep cover, and I'm no narc, but I can tell you somewhere on the application when you're talking about going undercover for the DEA, there must be something about calling syndicated radio shows and yapping about it.
Yeah, well, I didn't give you my real name. So
oh, yes, you did, buddy. We're everything because we're a radio station and this is a time of danger and a heightened yellow alert. We know exactly what your real name is, your real phone number, and your address from every single phone call that comes.
That's right. Bonaducci just has to make one call to one parole officer and your dream could end this afternoon. Will?
Don't put me down like that. You can call me sure, but don't give me only one parole officer.
I just said one of your parole officers. Okay. Let's go keep it into the top 10. Hey, Will?
Yeah.
So I don't fully understand your question. You have to get drug tested, but you can do drugs.
No,
what?
I'm probably not going to get, you know, that part of the job, that perk, you know? All mm-hmm. I know is that for now, I need to stop.
No drugs. All right.
No drugs anymore.
You need to start boozing.
Well, yeah, that's okay, but, you know.
Oh, listen, cry me a river. There's red wine. There's all the flavors of the new vodkas out there. Booze, that's your best friend.
By the way, booze is, aside from the worst drug, because all the other drug addicts, like heroin guys, just sit home and are all on heroin. You know, junkies just sit there and be junkies. Meth guys tweak and are a little dangerous. But drunks get real happy and grab the keys.
Mm-hmm.
They ruin lives. They kill people. Yeah. Alcohol's a real bad one. So what you would want to do instead is you want to probably come to me, say, on MySpace, because the station probably wouldn't be that happy. I'll tell you how to beat any drug test there is in 5 minutes.
You can buy Bonaducci's urine.
You can now, yeah.
Are you serious?
Comes in a powdered form. Let's just add water.
That's the most high tech. I did when I was screened for 6 years, and it took me about the first year to get away with it every time to fully have the system.
Wait, hold on. Are you serious?
I was on probation in 3 different states for 7 years.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And all 3 states wanted 2 drug tests a week, which was 6 a week.
And you passed all of them and you cheated?
All of them.
That's crazy.
You think McCulkin's a bad boy? Well,
no,
Bonaducci's
the
original.
Wait, Corolla.
Hmm.
There's a doctor in the room looking at my wang,
mm-hmm.
and then he's going to take the sample and put it in a machine that's going to tell him what is in it. And in front of his eyes, I not only am faster than his eyes, I am able to fool his $1 million machine. I think a little kudos from the smart guy that can fix a carburetor on a Lamborghini.
Kudos.
Look at
from
me. Corolla. I'm a drug addict. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, no, kudos from Corolla and Kunis on that one.
No, I just think think it's very impressive. Thank you.
Some ways are harder than others, man.
And here's, like, wow. Here's the other thing, too. You can do all the coke you want because that's in and out of your system.
72 hours.
Yeah, a couple days. You're fine. The weed's the only thing you got to get off of. So you got the blow. You got the booze. Hell, 2 out of 3 ain't
booze.
Bad.
Dig this on booze, buddy. Ready? Your liver metabolizes 2 ounces of alcohol per hour, which means you could be blind out of your mind drunk at 9 o'clock at night. And at 7 o'clock in the morning when they test you, you'll come up clean. Just natural, just from your body.
Wow. All right. Well,
feel better? We knew you would.
Put on a happy face.
And the things I learned today, I'm like, I can think this good.
Yeah. So I never figured out, though, what's the guy supposed to do with his hemorrhoids?
You just jump the hemorrhoids.
I don't know. What's he supposed to do?
It's the right side shark.
Is there a cream you recommend?
Well,
yeah, can I say something? When women, when they give birth, a lot of them, you know, a lot of hemorrhoids pop out of that, out of there.
We call them babies.
Right.
Okay, in addition to the baby, the baby comes with some hemorrhoids, all right? And the nurses, right after, a lot of times, you know what they do, right? They push him in with their finger. Like, they push him in.
Right.
So maybe we tell this guy, if you're listening.
Yeah,
is this gross?
If
he's still listening, because I'm sure he is, because he never got an answer to what to do with his hemorrhoids. Maybe have a girlfriend or someone or your
push
mom.
Push him back in?
Push him back in.
That just sounds so painful.
And then marry him. And if you're going to have a kid, go C-section if you're still listening, buddy.
Yeah.
And by the way, don't use your ring finger to push because that would just be the grossest ceremony ever.
And
the show has reached a new low.
I'm going to vomit into my commuter mug.
I agree.
Go to the pharmacy, get some cream, push him in. I've heard all sorts of stuff.
I've heard long-distance truckers. And this could be totally made up. This is something I heard. I didn't Google it. I didn't read it, but I've heard it more than once. What? Insert C batteries.
Why?
What? I don't know what it does. They say it stops them from getting hemorrhoids. I've heard it from more than one long-distance truck driver.
Thank you. Now I can sleep tonight.
But I don't know it to be true. I wouldn't argue it. I wouldn't say I know. I swear to God that's true. I would just swear that that's what they have told me.
How random is that fact?
Yeah. They go in Cs. They come out AA. We'll that's how you make change for a battery. We'll take ourselves a break. Oh, Christ, now I have to think about truckers and batteries. Mila Kunis, thank you very much for coming in. Moving McAllister, name of the movie, out this Friday in a theater near you. Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Daddy Daycare and many other projects. Now, there's a guy who would make your head look smaller.
Jeff.
Perhaps we'll get him a gig on E.
Call E. Call the heads at E.
We'll get a literally
the heads at E.
Take a quick break. Back with the Curb Your Enthusiasm's Jeff Garland next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
So I'm thinking about Jenna Jameson, and all of a sudden she pops out. You know who pops in? Cheryl.
My wife?
Boom, she was there. You can't control who pops in. She pops in.
The hell are you using my wife for?
I thought you'd be flattered.
Deal with my wife. I just don't like the whole idea.
It didn't really happen.
I know, but it's in your mind.
Do me a favor, okay? What? I don't want you using my wife anymore for that. Okay?
I'll never intentionally use your wife.
What do you mean intentionally?
You can't control who pops in.
Curb Your Enthusiasm's Jeff Garland just popped in on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you as usual, Jeff Garland.
Thank you. That's one of my favorite scenes from the show.
It's brilliant, too, because I can see that totally happening in real life.
It is true that you can't control.
Why do you think of Adam's wife? Adam, are you married?
Yes.
Do you think of Adam's wife when you do that sort of thing?
I think of being Adam's wife.
It is true that you can't think of who pops in and who doesn't. And if you think of anybody, they will pop in. You will will them in.
Plus, just if you say, God, your wife is so hot. One too many times. You think you're being really nice, and you are. My wife is stunning. 40 years old, size 0, not a wrinkle in her face. She's gorgeous.
What's size 0 mean?
It doesn't exist. You don't have a size, and it's actually
no
wife. It's
no
actually larger.
It's an imaginary wife.
She lives in the hearts and minds of all Americans.
That's not until October 22nd, my friend. Until right now, she's just a very thin woman. But she is gorgeous, but one or too many from a friend
man, your wife is so hot. It's like, okay, you can back off now. I got you.
It's a fine line. You want everyone to want to be attracted to the person or think the person you married is attractive.
I don't even care.
You don't?
No.
No.
I love my wife. I'm attracted to her. I don't care what anyone else does. Mm.
Good for you.
Yeah,
but, see, that's a reflection on why you said what you said, what Adam said. You forget I'm kind of scummy, and I'd sleep with my friend's wives if they were hot.
But I completely believe you.
What? I know, I'm telling you the truth. I'm getting divorced because I kept sleeping with the neighbors.
What would you feel like if we were all playing a parlor game?
Parlor game? I just love that term.
Parlor game? I asked you.
Am I wearing an old-time outfit?
I asked you my home. You were holding a brandy snifter.
Yes, okay.
And wearing a vest with a watch in it.
Yes.
And I asked you into my parlor to partake in some parlor games.
Yes.
Much like the Curb Your Enthusiasm.
We play parlor games constantly on the set.
We saw an episode where they were playing.
We hang out in.
And we were, I was playing some ragtime music. It was light and festive. My wife was there. Your wife was there.
Yes.
Danny's soon-to-be ex-wife was there, although you couldn't see her. Uh-huh. She was size zero. And the question came up, who would want to have sex with whose wife? Your wife came in last. Wouldn't it bump you just a little
bit? We're talking 2 out of 3. No.
All right. 100 guys are in there, and your wife comes in last. Wouldn't it bump you a little bit?
No, not at all. I'd feel bad for her. Yeah. I would feel bad for her. My ego is not based on what people think of my wife's
look. Interesting. Secure. Yeah. I like that.
I'm a big bowl of secure.
Well, I told my wife once That's called cool. me a moron okay. because I took an IQ test and I was technically a moron. I got like a 91.
Did you really?
I got well under 100, and she started laughing her ass off, and she said, according to this test score, you're a moron. And I said, you married a moron. Who's the moron?
Who's the moron?
Yes.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It's you.
Well, on that one, I agree with you. If she was a moron, I'd feel... And she was voted most moronic. I might take that more personal than how hot
they
she is.
That's funny, though,
because Adam's billboards for the show read Adam Carolla, American Genius. Now, I don't know if that story is true. Is that a real true story? You took an IQ test and came out low?
I got a 91 on an online IQ test.
I got really high on that same test.
Now, in real life, an IQ
test, it's very accurate,
you usually start
point.
Taking it around 4 years old. It doesn't mean that you will ever know anything. It's what you will be capable, what amount of knowledge you could get if you
remind me of, like, the look that you've got with the muscles and the shirt and the coif and this Carrot Top. Have you seen a picture of him lately?
Oh, yes.
It's over between us, isn't it?
It was over a long time ago. You don't even know.
Why, but, do I hate you? Or are we mad at each other?
I don't like you.
Why?
I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay. Uh-oh.
I had a television series that never aired, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought to have Danny Bonaducci on the TV series.
Now,
I got him on, mm-hmm. got a limo for him, because he was living in Chicago. I got a limo, okay, at his use, what he wanted. Nice. I made sure it was a suite, a hotel room. I came to Chicago. I had to promote a show. And so I thought, I'll call Danny Bonaducci show. It's very popular here. I was told by your producer you didn't know who I was and to leave you alone.
Adam, would you care to tell him? Would you like to care to tell him?
Danny was high as a kite.
No one ever told me. That is just how this works.
The producer
decides who they want and don't tell you. I wish you'd have your friends on all the time.
But if they do you remember that though?
I remember that coming on doing your show.
You do?
Absolutely.
Really?
Of course.
I have held a grudge against you for 100 years.
Are you serious?
I swear
to
God.
Do me a favor.
I didn't root for your demise. I didn't root for you not to be successful. I wasn't active.
No, I'm cool with
that. But I was like, that guy's a douchebag.
He had a passive grudge, which he held.
Yeah, it's a passive grudge.
He held a silent
grudge. That's exactly.
Passive grudge.
He would go to his parlor.
And I'm totally cool with it, but I will tell you this. When we first came on, because I have a reputation.
I take back the Carrot Top thing.
Thanks, man.
You look like Sandy Duncan. No, I'm kidding.
How about this?
All right, good. Very good.
But I just want to say, when I first came on, I have this kind of reputation and stuff, so I dared Adam, if he would, to find anyone who had worked with me to ever say I was ever anything but a gentleman and on time and did whatever I could to help. And the phone just rang up with people who worked with me. I couldn't be more pleased to get
you were
work,
wonderful
get
when
work.
You did my show.
Yeah, I'd have put you on in 2 seconds if anybody was he wants to be on the show.
Oh,
but I'd have also put on all my friends, so they stopped telling me.
So is the grudge settled? Are we over
grudge
it?
Grudge is completely settled.
If I did it, which I did not, I humbly apologize, but I never even heard
that's
about
a,
it.
That's about as sincere as a guy gets. I'm good.
All right.
Okay, well, good.
I'm totally good.
I really have flipped out.
People are
mad at me.
You're buff, and you should start getting laid a lot after October, whatever it is.
No. It's because began. I started in 1995.
No, but it's going to pick up even more.
Oh, yeah, I've got MySpace now. Yeah. Are you kidding? That's all I do is bone and come to this show.
Well,
that's a good existence.
I'm going to work it out every now and again, okay. But that's my whole life. But I'm glad we got that out of the way, because I really feel weird about making people not like me.
No, because I walked in and they said Danny Bonaducci is on the show, too. I'm like, oh, no, you're kidding me.
Yeah, no, so not that guy.
And Adam Carolla walks by. Hey, Jeff, I can't stand. And Danny Bonaducci.
Do you know what's funny? I'll give you an idea of how I am about stuff like that. This is called the Adam Carolla Show, right? Huh? If you'll listen closely, you will hear at least once a day me refer to him as boss, or he'll say something really funny, and I'll say, huh, that's how I ended up at this as the wacky sidekick. Because I don't have any kind of ego about stuff like that. This is
but
his show,
and I work on it. You are mentioning it, so it is there.
What do you mean?
The ego.
Oh, yeah, of course I have an ego, but it wouldn't be the kind that would go, I don't want that guy on that show, I'm so important.
But you're obviously, if you're sober, feelings. Then you're humble.
I do my best. But the first thing is I want to know that you're not mad at me anymore, because I did not know.
I'm not mad at you at
Look
all.
Me, I'm all red and flushed. I'm dead serious. No, don't even mad at me.
I can see you're totally sincere. I swear to God I'm not mad at you. It's
Thank
gone.
You very much.
Well, and now I'm going to steal you from the show and put you in all the projects I do.
Cool.
If you're talking about housing projects,
By the way, one of the things about, I forgot who I was talking to about this in terms of the Partridge Family, that back in the days of the Partridge Family, there was a lot of problems because Danny was so much more talented than everybody else.
Mm.
Like you couldn't compare.
That was the cause of thing, yeah.
No, there were a lot of problems because of that, because he was so supremely talented that, and he was, his timing was crazy.
I have said this to Danny Bonaducci on more than one occasion when he comes in here and claims he's no actor and never claimed to be an actor. I say, I saw you at 9 years of age with a amazing comic timing
amazing.
And chops.
I know.
You and Dave Madden were a legitimately funny comedy team in a day when everything was about Gilligan getting off the island and Greg getting a zit. This was actually something that was funny.
Is the name Reuben Kincaid bring happiness to everybody?
Yes, it does.
It does to me.
Yes, it does.
Just a great name. Reuben Kincaid.
A great guy, too. Really.
Oh, that's cool.
I had a lot of problems at home during those years, and for all the weeks of the Partridge Family, I spent weekends at his house.
Oh, that's
he took care of me.
He
good,
was
right,
a second father, actually first father to
he
Danny.
He had me less hours, but Dad beat me more.
Jeff Garland in studio from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Speaking of ego, you notice how I'm more than happy to talk about others.
Yes,
and not focus
but
on
let's
my
focus
very
on you.
Successful career. I'm very hi, Julianne.
How
let's
you,
focus.
Well,
what would
she
you
want
to talk about first? What would be the biggest thing that you'd
my
want
movie.
To focus on right now? The movie.
My movie. Yes, because Curb takes care of itself. I mean, we've got the loyal fans, and the show, I think, is great this year and all that sort of stuff. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have, but my movie is, like, the big, big thing in my life right now.
I want someone to eat cheese with is the name of the movie. It stars our own favorite Sarah Silverman as well as Bonnie
Not
Hunt.
In my book. It has my favorite star, Jeff Garland, in it.
Yeah, right. This is what always happens, by the way, when there's ever a wrong side of tension, is that people become that much more happier with each other. I know.
Yeah, it's why boxers hug like gays in the center of the ring after 6 months of calling each other's mother's whores and then trying to kill each
that's
other.
That's part of the game.
Then it's that's that big boxing hug. You
know the irony is
that.
Most of their moms are whores.
Yes, it's true. It's
factual. That's why I know most of their moms.
Good night, everybody.
Also has Amy Sedaris from Children with Candy or Strangers with Candy,
and
I should
David
say.
David Sedaris' sister, who I happen to think is a very funny guy.
And Dan Castellaneta, Homer Simpson.
Jesus.
Actually, ironically, Dan Castellaneta's character in the movie works at like a Quickie Mart.
Oh, really?
Which is fine. I didn't even notice that until recently.
Now, the movie is in release this Friday.
Well, no, it opened last Wednesday in New York.
Right.
Got rave reviews that I blew my mind. New York Times, Village Voice, that sort of thing.
I heard about those.
And
yes.
Number one movie in the country based on per screen average last week.
Really?
Because
wow.
It was on one screen.
That's good.
Fine.
But it beat ones that are on two and three screens too. No, it was for 1 week I can say that on my per screen average, I was the biggest movie in the country.
Yeah. No, that's the way they do it. It's how much you're making in each theater.
Because
you're
a lot of these crappy movies that you think make so much money, there are 9 zillion theaters.
Right.
So they can't help but make some money.
Right. Their on-screen average isn't nearly as good as Jeff's, but they're in 2,400 screens.
Right.
So
yes, exactly.
Ultimately that
What's
adds.
What's it about, Jeff? What's it about?
You and my love for you. It's about, and then I'll tell you where. I just want to say this quickly. It opens in Los Angeles this weekend, Washington, D.C., I believe Boston, and it's going out now. It's platforming, you know, more and more theaters.
Is it limited theaters? Like you could tell us what theater in L.A. right now?
Yeah. It's a Sunset 5.
I love that theater right by Crunch Fitness.
In Santa Monica, the Monica Fourplex in Pasadena.
And if it does well in these theaters, then it expands once again.
Well, it's going to keep expanding until October 5th, but it'll expand a lot more, yes. But what's cool about it is a little movie like this movie is, it's part of a program, IFC's First Take, which means currently, no matter where you live, you can see it on demand.
Oh, really?
Right now.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, so if you don't want to leave the house, it's on demand to over 40 million homes.
You wrote it. You directed it. It's all you.
Big bowl of me.
And you went and contacted your friends, Sarah Silverman, folks like that, to be in it.
I wrote the part for Sarah before she was a star.
Really?
I wrote the parts for everybody who's in the movie, pretty much. Yeah, but Sarah was well before she was a star, no doubt about it. I started writing it for her in the late 90s.
Really?
I thought, because I've known her since she was like 19.
Right.
And I thought, wow, this is somebody who is going to be a huge star, and people aren't quite seeing it yet, but I see it. I'm going to benefit from that, and maybe I'll even help make her a star, which didn't happen. Now I'm just riding her coattails.
Right.
But nonetheless, she was being miscast year after year in movies because everybody wanted to work with her. So they put her in parts that she wasn't exactly right for because they wanted to work for her. Well, I wrote this specifically for her. And even if you don't like the movie, you will love her.
All right. Well, yeah. I love her anyway.
Is
but
she the object of your affection in the movie?
She most certainly is. And she tortures me quite a bit. Here's the thing. I play a guy who has trouble at his job, trouble with women, and deals with it through the magic of food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thus, I want someone to eat cheese with.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, because at first I thought it might be based on a twist on Who Moved My Cheese.
No, there's no farting.
No, I really thought, you know, they somebody went, okay,
was a novel.
Enough of that crap.
Anyone who farts in this movie, it's off screen.
Okay, good.
Oh, really?
Good enough.
Well, I'm out. Sorry.
And by the way, there's a scene in the movie where Sarah's supposed to say a reference to a sexual act that I really cannot say on the air, but it involves breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's all I can say.
I think I know.
Okay. Well, anyhow, one of my producers, Steve Pink, who produced Gross Point Blank and High Fidelity, and he wrote those movies. He came into the trailer. Sarah and I are getting made up. He said, you can't use that term. He goes, you can use the term, but give me an alternate, because this one term will give it an R rating.
So
TF.
So Sarah looks at me, and we got to think of some. Sarah goes, Shaq. Sarah goes, Hoagie. I said, Shaq. And I said, mention a lot of wiener and bosom. So the very first take, we do this thing, Hoagie Shaq, with wiener and bosom. It is so funny that I never went back to the other one.
You never got the TF take.
How long did it take you to get to the word you wanted to use and could get away with? To figure it out?
Right away, Hoagie Shaq.
It just came within seconds?
Seconds.
Because I immediately would have gone booby boning.
Well, yeah.
But not that funny. It's to the point.
No, I gave Walt Bryan a Hoagie Shack in the 7 a.m. hour, but let's keep going. So, I thought we invented that.
I heard that Shaq has his own Hoagie, if you know what I'm saying.
Once I took out that phrase, I actually got on, and understand my fair comedians prior, I'm not a prude, but I went through the script and I said, I'm going to make an adult comedy with no swear words. I took out every swear word.
Wow.
This movie has no swear words.
Does it have
Bill Cosby did okay without ever cursing.
Yeah, he did pretty great.
Does it have a PG 13?
It has no rating, actually. Because of the on-demand thing, they don't do it.
Oh, really?
But it would have been Without a doubt, PG-13, maybe even PG, but probably PG-13 because it's a lot of adult situations.
When,
but no,
when you raped a wheel of Gouda. I believe that gets you into the PG-13 at a certain
way,
point.
The only person I know who would put that in the film and it would be good would be John Waters.
Yes,
he knows how to do that, raping a wheel of Gouda and making it seem okay.
We need to take ourselves a break. Jeff Garland, thank you for coming in and bearing the hatchet.
Danny Bonaducci.
I would have not ever known there was a hatchet, so I guess I'd have been okay, but once I found out, I'd have been crushed.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I'm thrilled that we've cleared the air.
Me too. Nice.
Please watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and see my movie either on demand or in a theater.
I want someone to eat cheese with.
Adam Carolla. Mm.
Jeff Garland.
You are great, and it's always a joy to be in your presence.
Well,
how's that for an opinion?
I am humbled by your humbleness, sir. We will do a little home improvement next. Juliana, perhaps you have a question for me. I am an expert, after all.
I came here today with a home improvement question.
Really?
No.
All right. 866-901-ADAM, your home improvement questions answered next.
Hi, it's Sarah Silverman. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. I don't know why. That's something you need to look deep into your soul to find out.
I know. She kids because she loves. Right. All right. Home improvement. 866-901-ADAM. You have your questions. I have the answers.
From the pantheon of morning radio, a solitary gladiator steps into the ring.
Bad stucco. It's like a wall stud in your ceiling. Something called a tuck trowel. The bottom of a ceiling joist. You grind out the mortar. 2x6.
Adam Carolla answers your home improvement questions.
Here's what you need to do.
The quest begins now.
Okay, now the fun begins.
Brian's going to make me mad. Hey, Joe?
Yeah, it's me.
What's up, my brother? What's the question?
In the middle of my kitchen, the roof, it's starting to split.
Mm. That would be the ceiling, by the way.
The kitchen, I'm sorry.
Starting to get a little crack there in the ceiling. How old's the house?
1951. Lath and plaster, I believe.
I don't think it's lath and plaster in 1951.
No.
It's probably button board and plaster. At a certain point, they got away from the lath, which is little skinny strips of wood that they would use to put on the wall and then apply the plaster to. And some genius said, hey, we don't have to put all these little itty-bitty pieces of rough-cut Doug fir on the wall. We can put something called button board. It's a big old sheet, and we'll just put the plaster on that. And then a second genius came along and said, why are we even putting plastic on the button board? Why don't we just make it smooth, call it drywall? And we've now entered the modern era of wall
covering. Now, this is interesting.
Called button board because it has little divots in it, like little buttonholes to hold the plastic.
All right.
This is why I didn't get laid when I was in my 20s, by the way.
All right.
I can see you're mused, Joe. So, Joe, you have a crack in your plaster ceiling. You could patch it with joint compound. That's what you use to float out a wall when you're doing drywall. But if the crack is bigger than an eighth of an inch, you can use your penis to measure it. If it's bigger than an eighth of an inch, then you're going to want to use something a little sturdier, like Fix-All.
You know, can I say this? Someone already looked like they tried to patch it, but it started to split again. I need to sand it down, like put an indentation in it and then refill it.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
It couldn't hurt to sand it, but use a sanding block so it remains flat. And if you really want to be cool, you can whip yourself up a little something we used to call hot mud. That's a little Fix-All and some joint compound. But that's life in the fast lane, buddy. That ain't for amateurs. And you may want to find out why there's an ever-growing crack in the ceiling of your kitchen.
What do you think?
Perhaps there's a fat hooker that's been stashed in your attic that is going to fall through any moment now. That's the high percentage choice. Low percentage could be something in the foundation that is sinking.
That doesn't sound like fun.
All right.
All of this almost too exciting to bear.
Go up there with a flashlight and a body bag, and if it's not that, then go under the house and check the foundation.
Damn.
All right, Joe. I've had enough of you.
Huh. Or he could have someone push it in. Have a nurse push it in.
That's right.
I'm stuck on the hemorrhoid thing.
She can't get out of the crack.
What happened?
Stephanie?
Yes?
You have a question?
Good morning, Adam. Thank you. Sweet.
Oh boy, I feel like you and I could have a great 6 months, and then a hellish 6 months, And then it would be over, except for we'd have great sex two more times before it was over.
No, stick with really me. We'll have bad sex for years.
That's right.
You totally made my day, and I know my question is valid, but I'm, like, on the way to the doctor, and it's lame, and you just made my day, so thank you,
All right, let's hope that penicillin works
What's
this time.
What's the appointment for? What's your doctor's appointment for?
The women's doctor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun ever at all, even though you do it all the time. You're making my day.
You have to go see the gynecologist?
Yes, sir.
Now, does the gynecologist have a crazy nationality so your boyfriend's cool with it?
Oh, no, it's a woman.
It's a chick.
Oh, or
it's
a chick.
A chick.
Yeah. That's what we hope for in a gynecologist.
Old dude, a very
exactly.
old guy.
Or a super old guy. What we don't want is Bill Rancic up there. Hair coiffed, little sparkle coming off his tooth. Hello.
Didn't we ever do that on this show where
somebody's been pruning?
Hey, Dr. Rancic.
Your name matches your occupation. Because my wife's gynecologist was named Dr. Goo.
Kuzman.
And a guy before that was Dr. Finger.
Really?
Swear to God. Swear to God, my wife.
Yeah, there's a dentist here in LA, Dr. Toth. Tooth.
Yeah.
But it looks like tooth, but it's like it's a dentist.
Well.
Then there's Baker, but that's not as fun.
All right.
Sorry. Anyway, what were we talking about? Gynecologists or home improvement?
Yes. What is the nationality or the sex? Oh, you say it's a woman.
Who's your? She's a Caucasian woman.
That's what you want. That's fine.
Blonde hair, blue-eyed. Yeah. Well,
that is perfectly fine.
My thing is that I just moved to Las Vegas, so this is a new
Vegas
person.
Gynecologist, though, sounds like a Fox series, replacement series. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kirkman, Vegas gynecologist.
Yeah.
Slow motion of him turning toward the camera, a little wind blowing through his hair.
Maybe I should pitch that to E. We have Dr. 90210.
A tampon's going to blow in 15 seconds, Dr. Kirkman. Out of the way. I'm pulling the cord. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, I'm just riffing
it's
here.
Like
toxically shocking episode.
Vegas gynecologist really does sound like something I would watch.
What do you do in Vegas, Stephanie?
Dr. Pap Smear, she's going to be up on stage shaking her moneymaker. Yeah, quit your grinning, drop your linen, hop on these stirrups, let the DJ push you around. All right.
Oh, no, I'm a nanny, Adam.
All right.
Nanny.
By day, but by night. Hey, it's Nanny McFever. She's making me high. Yeah. Give me a sponge bath. Okay. Hey, Stephanie?
Yeah.
Sorry. What's the problem?
No big. Okay, so we have textured walls, my boyfriend and I, in our house, and we have tried, painter's tape with caulk on it and, like, pushing it into the little crevices with a butter
knife.
How
do you mask off a rough wall?
Huh. Exactly,
that's the question. Now, you would paint a rough wall. People have textured walls or textured ceilings. If you were going to paint that, you would use a nappy roller. A roller with about 3/4 inch of nap. Smooth roller for smooth surface, nappy roller for rough surfaces. Makes sense. But how do you mask it off? I've done this for 20 years. I've never thought about it. I'll tell you how I would do it.
Okay.
I would use one of those masking agents, not the tape, because obviously if you try to stick the tape down, that's not really going to work. You're not going to get it into every nook and cranny. But they do have a sort of gel that you apply that dries, that you can peel off, that would go into those nooks and crannies. It's never going to be as good as if you had a flat wall.
Is that different now than clear caulk? Because that we've tried that. We've tried clear caulk.
Well, what is another porn name I had back in the day? I'm very fair skinned down there. Hey, Stephanie.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Ultimately, there's no product that is made for this. You could try that masking agent. I think it would work better than the aforementioned clear caulk. But sounds like a horrible concert, doesn't it? You playing? Yeah, you going to Clear Cock this weekend?
It's Christian Rock band.
Clear Cock, Christian Rock. Striper and Clear Cock are going to be opening the big Christian Rock venue.
Nice.
Hey, Stephanie. Yeah, somebody with a steady hand is going to have to cut this in because it's nearly impossible to mask off
so
something
that
this rough.
Like my next point, Adam, that you can probably go with me on this is why these balls? If people can't paint them, why?
Why the bad texturing?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, what?
Yes, look.
Why can't I just have a regular wall so I can do it myself and not have to pay?
Inside the glory hole.
Look, why the flat roofs with the rocks on them? Why the burnt orange carpeting?
No,
why every... Because everyone in the 70s was high. That's why. They had mirrors with gold veins in them. They had statues with pubic hair. It was a disaster. That's why. You're just having to live through it. Why don't you have your boyfriend be a man, take himself out a little joint compound and give a skim coat over that wall and smooth it out. Then you can get your straight line. Yes?
We live in a brand new house, Adam.
All right. Well, that's Vegas. And in Vegas, a brand new house was built in 1974. Do you understand? Aesthetically, they're 33 years behind the world.
Right.
Have you been to Vegas? Have you seen what the architecture looks like? Yes, you know how they talk about...
Because it was built yesterday in an hour and a half. It just looks like it was made 33 years ago.
Yes.
It's the fastest growing city in the world. They just forgot to change the architecture from 1973.
Yeah, they're not what you call folks that like to fly under the radar under there. They like Garish, and Garish loves texture. Another good porn name for me, Garish Texture. All right, where was I?
This is great.
I'll do one more. Let's see. Needs a resurfaced pool. Wants to rig up a 4-bar ceiling. Having trouble with the water heater. Let's try that. Owen?
Yeah.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, not a lot, man. I've got a quick question for you. Before we get to that, I've always wanted to ask you.
We're having a ball out here.
What car did you drive to work this morning, Adam?
I drove an Audi.
Really? Which Audi?
Why?
Well, I just want to know because I figure you've got a lot of nice cars, and I'm a car enthusiast, and I've always just wondered what you drive to work.
Okay, time has passed.
Well, here's the thing. Try not to bore everyone with this, but I do have a lot of nice cars. But what people don't realize is nice cars are like nice clothing. There may be a guy who dresses nice and a woman who dresses to the nines when you see her walking the red carpet, but who the hell wants to deal with the Blassie, Bill Blassie gown and the press-on nails and all that at 4:30 in the morning? You want to hop in sweatpants and make your run. I have a sweatpants version of cars. It's an automatic Audi.
Is that what that is? Because, I mean, you have
like
Ferraris and Lamborghinis and stuff like that,
I don't even like automatics, but at 5 in the morning, an automatic is pretty nice to have. Yeah. So everybody...
I have a 3-speed on the tree, man.
Yeah, no one... the car has dents and scratches in it that were put there while it was parked who knows where. Who the hell wants to deal with all that crap? Plus, old cars take work to drive. You had to drive old cars. They didn't have power steering or power brakes. They were all manual shift. You had to warm up for 20 minutes before you left the house. It's a hassle. So get something easy and then get that second car and put it in your garage and stare at it. That's what I do. All right, Owen, your problem quickly.
Well, I've got a water heater, and every morning I have to get up and reset the actual circuit breaker on the water heater, not on my panel. And I'd like to know what's going on there.
Well, there's a problem with your water heater because water heaters have something that'll pop out like when a turkey is done. Many appliances have this. If you have a garbage disposal and it gets bound up, you throw some eggshells or something in there and it gets bound up, it'll eventually, a little button will pop out on it so it doesn't blow up your house and you reach down and reset it. You're having a problem. That means there's a problem. How about you get rid of it and go with a tankless water heater? So you don't.
No, that's a good idea.
Well, it's now time. How long's it been?
It's actually a rental. My landlord just replaced the water heater. It's brand new, only about a year old.
It's a rental. Why are you calling me? Call him.
Nice to talk to you.
He's the man. Go ahead and bother him. Yes, folks, you can get a tankless water heater, which heats the water as you need it instead of boiling 50 gallons of water that is sitting in your house boiling right now while you're at your job. X amount of kilowatts or X amount of BTUs to do that. All right. I've bored you long enough with my home improvement questions.
Adam Carolla's home improvement.
Huh?
Powered by the...
Huh? Sorry. All right, Brian.
What's it powered by? I'll do it. I'm an announcer guy.
It's the bump out. It's Home Depot. Good times. Thank you.
Adam Carolla's home improvement section is brought to you by Home Depot. If you have a home, you need Home Depot.
Huh.
Thanks.
No problem, man.
Juliana DeBandi.
I got the news coming up.
Ah, yes.
And,
give us a tease.
Well, this just came across the wire. Us Weekly says they have a quote from Britney right when she walked off the stage, what she said. Quote, she felt like blank. I'll tell you after the break.
Well, we could do the math on that, but we'll hear it straight from the sound, the gals, horses, I should say mouth. Next, with Juliana DePanning in the news on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
You've seen them on TV, racy new ads aimed at teens.
Still to come on Eyewitness News, we'll take a look at the controversy they're now stirring up.
And you need help with saving your favorite pair of blue jeans. The doctor is in the house. How he works his magic. Stay with us.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed, indeed, with Juliana DePandy, co-anchor of E! News on a weeknight, 7 and 11, with her nemesis, Ryan Seacrest.
Mm.
Yeah, see, Ryan Seacrest has a head that looks like a pancake profile. And mine looks like it when you're looking at it down at the lumberjack stack. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That's the thing. It's that narrow head guy.
Yeah.
Also relative. You know what I mean? That's life. That's what we're talking about.
It's just hard, Adam.
You're a C-minus student, Juliana DePandy. Yeah. You're a C-minus student?
But no, you I was have better.
Well, if you were.
Yeah.
But you had a brother who was in juvie, then you're the greatest kid that family has.
That's
on
right.
the other hand, if you got a brother who's all city and getting straight A's, then you're the black sheep.
Right.
You haven't moved. It's those around you. Get Jeff Garland next to you, you become the pixie that delivers the entertainment
news.
Yeah,
next to Jeff Garland, my God. I have a little tiny head.
Got that
my family.
But next to Ryan.
My family
head.
Does nothing. They do exceptional things, but I make the money and stuff in my family.
Yeah.
But I'm also the 14-time convicted felon, so they just look like angels. All of them sprout wings anytime I walk into the room.
Yeah,
it's an easy gig.
I'm telling you.
And if you're really kind, you could actually do it on purpose just to make the rest of your family look. You got a black sheep in the family, just become worse.
Yeah.
I forced my sister to get a DUI. Actually, turned into vehicular manslaughter. But either way, I've talked too much about it. But I said, look, I want to be the apple of Pop's eyes.
Right,
now get in that car, take this sixer, Heine, and get busy.
Good for you, Adam.
All right, I'm sorry. Juliana.
No, it's fine.
DePandy.
Big head DePandy.
Now with the news.
Teresa Strasser is on assignment. And now the news with some other broad.
I prefer hussy. All right, guys. Us Weekly, they just put out something very exciting. They said that they have an amazing source who heard Britney say something right when she got off the stage, okay, after her VMA performance the other night, that basically while she was dancing, she could see herself all around the auditorium in the monitors.
Mm-hmm.
And did you kind of notice she was like looking around and seemed a little out of it, confused? Mm-hmm. People think it's medication.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's because she was looking in the monitors at herself, and that when she came off the stage, she, quote, came running off the stage yelling, oh, my God, I look like a fat pig. I look like a fat pig.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll screw you up halfway into performance.
Yes.
Hey, look, you fat pig.
Oh.
Right. They didn't have a mirror in her dressing room?
I think it was just seeing herself on the monitor.
There's a carnival mirror that made her look 6 feet tall and like a beanpole.
No. I just thought of this. I know it's not the most clever thought, but I was thinking about watching TMZ and how they have cameras everywhere now and how Britney Spears can't walk off stage without somebody from Us Weekly getting a comment. These are the most tenacious people on the planet. They will find what Brad and Angelina are doing at any given moment. Perhaps we should tell these folks to go find Benny Layden. Perhaps we should say $25 million for a nice cell phone video of this guy. I bet you within 2 weeks, someone would come home with something. Well, we'd see it on TMZ, and then we'd go find out where he was.
Well, they just didn't think of it like you did, because there's $25 million on him now. They're thinking of raising it to $50, but they're doing it for people they can find. Nobody at TMZ thought, hey, let's do that.
There are a bunch of stone teenagers who have cameras in their phones that could find Bin Laden.
Okay, my nephew just did a total thing for TMZ. I think, I don't want to say exactly what he did, but he got a very, very big government official running for the biggest of offices while visiting their college, sitting there drinking with underage students with a really good fake ID. And he's got the videotape. And he called me, goes, what do I do with it? And I said, don't call me. People do that to me all the time, but you're sitting on something.
Go get Benny Layden is what you should do.
So if, Dominic, the guy that going to school, full scholarship for playing the tuba.
Amazing.
There's a guy with a big head who could stand next to Juliana Dupin.
The other thing is about TMZ, though, that shocks me is how little they care about the level of their celebrity on which they print.
Mm-hmm.
I'm B-list at best. On my best day, I'm a B-list celebrity. The only reason I'm of any interest is because I do weirder stuff than some people. But I won't do anything, and I'll still end up on TMZ once, twice a week. And you know, I'm not that. Why would you do that? I don't end up on Entertainment Tonight. I don't end up on Access Hollywood unless I actually do something or have a new show to promote or something. TMZ, you come out of a restaurant, there's a guy with a camera, he asks you some weird question. Happened to Adam the other night, not that he's a B-list celebrity, but he's just walking out of Mr. Wang's or something.
Yeah.
And they started to interview him. I was coming out of a restaurant the other night and they were doing it to me.
Mr. Wang's is a theater I used to go to before the feds closed it down.
Yes.
But seriously, it doesn't seem like they care as much about level of celebrity.
No, because they don't need celebrities to participate. Like we, you know, I work for E! And we have E! News.
The real deal.
Now, I can't bash celebrities. Not that I want to, but I can't do that because, like, for instance, this weekend, Sunday, I'm on the red carpet interviewing celebrities.
Right.
TMZ doesn't have a place on the red carpet. They're not interviewing celebrities like that. So their business is to get celebrities coming out of restaurants doing, you know, whatever. They don't care. They're not they're not in bed with celebrities.
Either whisper in my ear or write down the name of a celebrity you absolutely hate, and then I'll just start trashing the bejesus out of them while you tell me how wrong I am. Get out of your system. I'll just tear him a new one, and you can go, Danny, that's obscene. That person's really nice and sweet and deserves everything they get.
Give it some thought whilst you're moving on to the next news story.
Okay, well, this year's Oscar host just announced. Hmm. Who do you guys think? You know, last year was Ellen. It's been
John Stewart,
Chris Rock. You know, there's been a lot of people. What do you think?
Seacrest.
He's doing the Emmys this weekend and the Super Bowl. He's busy. He can't do the Oscars, too.
Wow, that's a weird one. Let's see.
You want
Ellen, black guy?
No
black guy. Wow. How about Will Ferrell?
No.
Nice try, though.
It would be a nice twist.
This guy has done it once before.
Oh, okay.
Big head to Pandy.
Not Crystal. I don't know. I'm going to turn over all the cards.
His head's not that big. No, it's pretty average size. I'd probably hate
standing
next to him.
They've dug up Bob Hope's and reanimated his corpse.
No.
Bob Hope's corpse?
No.
Letterman.
Letterman.
No, not Rosie O'Donnell either.
All right, what do we got?
It's John Stewart.
No, I'm shocked because we have the same agent and he didn't say anything. So I assumed that he wasn't doing it. I'd have to give Baby Doll Dixon a call after the show and get the scoop. So Stewart's doing it. That's cool.
Stewart's doing it. It's going to be a second time. He did it 2 years ago. And so the Oscars are February 24th. So tune in and see how he does. Yeah, it's very exciting. Earlier we were talking about Kanye. He's just all over the news right now. Well, here's the latest. You know how Kanye and 50 Cent had they were going head to head regarding their new albums because both were dropping on the same day. So they had this whole feud, who's going to sell more albums. And 50 Cent said, if Kanye sells more albums than me, I'm retiring. That's what 50 Cent said. Or, I'm sorry, excuse me, 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
50
yeah.
Cent said.
I like 50 a lot.
Well, retire, baby, because Music Insiders are saying that Kanye's new album is going to sell about 700,000 copies. 50 Cent is only projected to move about 500,000. There's
I talked to Fittish people.
Yes.
He said Adam West. Not Kanye West. Oh, nice. Adam West. Adam. There was a little mixture. TV's Batman.
Billy West.
Everybody.
Billy West.
So we have a little 50 Cent talking about the whole thing.
Didn't Alec Baldwin say if Bush is elected president, I will move out of the country?
Yeah.
And I offered to pack the man. And he still didn't keep it.
Yeah, a lot of these people don't stick to what they say.
It's sort of like pro wrestling. We need to take a quick break. We have a very entertaining clip from Kanye West to play in just one moment where he sounds like a bigger ass than he may already
be. It's 50 Cent.
Oh, it's 50 Cent. Oh, not Kanye's.
No, it's 50 Cent talking about the whole thing.
Okay.
He and Kanye's little feud.
Ah, all right. Well, better yet. We'll do that next when we finish the news on the Adam Carolla Show.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hello, group of girlfriends. We get together and sit around and drink and watch Man on Man gay porn all night. And we laugh a little bit more than we did, get off. But you could not believe how big some of their items were. Anyway, that's about all I had to say. Thanks a lot.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Juliana DePandy filling in for Teresa, who will be back tomorrow from
Big
TMZ. That's right. Has herself a big cabeza to fill when she comes back because Juliana DePandy is doing a wonderful job for us. You can find her on E, 7 o'clock and 11 o'clock with Ryan Seacrest. And now the rest of the news.
Here we go, baby. Oh, my God. I look like a fat pig. I look like a fat pig.
All right, let's just stay to the copy, Juliana.
Okay. All right, guys. So I was talking about 50 Cent and Kanye's feud where they said, my album's going to sell more than yours. No, yours is, I'm going to sell more than yours. Well, it looks like Kanye's is going to sell more than 50 Cent's. And 50 Cent said, if Kanye sells more, I'm retiring. And here's a little of 50 right here.
Of course. Everybody's got a different preference. I feel like I'm at a point in my career that I'm Muhammad Ali right now. You know what I mean?
What I mean is
a lot of people watch, but they don't necessarily want to see me win because I won so big in front of them in a short period of time. You know what I mean? So it's all the way good.
So basically, that's Fitty. I like to call that backpedaling. basically saying that's him responding now that he knows he's not going to beat Kanye. So I don't know what he said there. I'm not going to kid you.
Perhaps we should get him together with Tyra Banks to create a Nubian blowhard warrior.
Kiss my fat ass!
Like the greatest black self-absorbed blowhard on the planet. What's that?
That's one of the things, although I happen to think Fitty is one of my... When I went to rehab, my roommate was like 21, and that's all he had was rap. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think to bring anything like that. I brought books. What a fool. But... I fell in love with Fitty, man. I think the guy's brilliant. And one of the things that really
gets me... You're in a vulnerable stage.
That's for friggin' sure.
You can find me in the club, body full of bud.
The worst thing about rehab is there's, no drugs there.
This is what you fell in love with, Danny?
Yeah, all right. One of them, yeah.
Well, he's good, I'm just saying.
But the fact that he's been shot, is it 9 times and once right through the mouth... Add some serious street cred to me to this guy being around.
I'm just saying there's plenty of people who have been shot.
It's not hard to get shot.
Oh, yes. Look, here's the deal. There was a time when we didn't accept you blowing your own horn into microphones and in front of cameras like this. You know what I mean? Where you were considered a little bit immature or maybe a pariah if you just got on and talked about how great you were after you won the game. After you talked about how great you were, even if you lost, there was a time when people are a little humbler.
Right.
They understood
modest.
It didn't look great to get up there and boast and do that. I miss those days.
I would have liked him more if he said, I lost and I'm retiring.
That's right. All right.
I lost. All right, check this out. I'm sorry to keep talking about the freaking VMA awards this past weekend, but everyone's talking about it. But guess what? This is kind of a cool angle here. We know, well, In Touch Weekly knows, what the celebrities wanted or asked for, demanded in their dressing rooms.
I love this stuff.
The writer.
Do you love the writer?
Sure.
Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
She wants fruit, little sandwiches, but no bacon, margaritas, Red Bull, both regular and sugar-free, and lots of flowers, candles, and, quote, girly things.
Mm-hmm.
Like tampons?
Boys.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think a lot of Hello Kitty notebooks or something like that. All right, she wants frilly, girly things.
Yes, Fall Out Boy.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to have,
oh,
what?
I thought that's what she was demanding.
Oh, sorry.
Fall Out Boy?
She wanted a couple of the Fall Out Boys. Fall Out Boy wants a box of peanut butter and jelly Uncrustables. I got to say, those things look pretty good.
They're awesome. You've never had them?
Never, but they look
like
so good.
The best things ever.
They're frozen, right? And they just defrost?
I believe they are frozen, but they unfreeze for some reason on their own in like a second, but you can nuke them even faster.
Yum.
They're brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they want some Cool Ranch Doritos, a bottle of champagne, not cheap, but not Cristal, they said. They want gummy candy, a bottle of vodka, and an 8x8 breakdancing mat. Cardboard is unacceptable.
What has happened to rock
and roll? What is going on?
What happened to hookers and blow? There in black and white. And
shrimp,
I mean hookers.
Hookers and blow. What happened to those days?
Is that your writer here in the dressing room?
That's back when I had the juice, darling. Now I'm lucky to get the energy drink. It's still a buck and a quarter.
You do have the energy drink here. 50 Cent wanted 6 bottles of vitamin water. I think that's because he promotes the bottle of that company.
Do you know the deal on that?
What?
As far as I understand, again, this is not something I'll fight for, but it's a good source. Coke just bought the 50 water, and he got 10% of the $5 billion, making him half a billionaire.
Wow.
Oh, really?
He got
$500 million. Hear that.
Yeah.
So he could retire.
Afford to bring his own.
He wanted a bucket of fried chicken, KFC, or Church's.
Good choices.
KFC's amazing. He wants Twizzlers, Snickers, Jolly Ranchers, Kit Kats, and a hot tea setup. No styrofoam. The thing is, I know these are real because you can't make this crap up.
No,
you can't.
Right? The breakdancing mat? Who makes that up? All right. And Justin Timberlake wants Grey Goose vodka, Jack Daniels. Wow. Captain Morgan rum, Crown Royale, champagne, root beer. In case kids come by, 2 bananas, room temperature.
You're an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, room temperature bananas? Oh, no, wait, room temperature Fiji water.
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. He wants vanilla soy milk cookies, but not a lot. You know, maybe he's watching it. You know?
Yeah. Well, he just wants to get chicks drunk who come over there. That's why you need the booze. It's not all for you.
Right.
You got to get groupies loaded so you can get laid.
You remember the green M&M things with, I think it was Van Halen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that was? That's a true story. And you know why they did it? It actually turns out to be a fairly reasonable thing.
Because it's horny?
No.
What?
Because if there were green M&Ms, what else didn't they read on the rider? They did it to make sure they read the rider thoroughly. And if there were green M&Ms, they knew they didn't.
That's Teresa Strasser.
Hey,
you!
I missed you guys again.
We missed you again.
What's happening over there in TMZ land?
Well, do you know that comedian Godfrey?
Yeah.
Yes.
He did those 7-Up commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for TMZ, he was outside the Laugh Factory, kind of going off.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Oh, really?
I'm working on it as we speak.
And he's the brother man, right?
Yes, he had the sweater vest.
And he seemed very prim and proper, and he was going off. Can you name the race? Can you name what he was talking about?
Yeah, apparently he talks to some girl. And the girl was with some other guy, so he starts dispensing wisdom on how you should get into a fight, and that's, I'm putting it in white, I'm putting it very, I've taken out the gangsta. He's very gangsta when he's not on the 7-Up commercials.
Right.
But he's talking about how you get into a fight over a girl you know, but not over to a strange girl.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree.
Uh-huh. And, we don't have time. Here's the thing. Hey, Teresa Strasser?
Yeah.
We're going to speak to Tom Anderson, Tom, the guy who invented MySpace, who doesn't do interviews, but
oh my God,
going to be on this show.
This was so awesome, man.
He just heard me say it about losing all my friends and my girlfriend deleting them and took care of me personally. They called up and said, I'll fix you, buddy. They should no girl should get rid of your MySpace. I love this guy.
I can't believe Tom called you. Let me just say this. I can't wait to come back in tomorrow. I will be expecting, and I hope you don't think I'm demanding, but I will be expecting Jameson's, Xanax, room temp bananas, and a breakdancing mat.
I got your Xanax on me.
It's still at your microphone, baby. We haven't moved it. All right, Teresa, mazel tov to you and TMZ, and we'll see you tomorrow, my dear.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, and hi, Juliana, and bye.
Bye, Teresa. See you later, honey.
Nice job, Juliana DePandy, doing the news for T. We need to take a break. The Tom from MySpace, who evidently never does interviews, but he's doing one in about 6 minutes on this show, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
I don't know exactly how this happened, but her parting salvo was to delete my MySpace.
Yeah. Bad fights, they've had a few.
It got crazy.
Girlfriend Amy and Bonaducci.
When I fight, I don't mind.
She did what she had to do.
I'm officially single.
Bid him adieu.
And so is she.
Now he gets no coochie.
And I'm without sin.
At a bar, she got jealous.
I like jealousy in a woman.
And chewed him out.
It's a sign that you really like me.
When they left the place.
Let's fight. Let's call each other some names.
And then she dumped his ass and crashed his mind.
Dude, I love my MySpace. And they love their customers or clients or whatever. I was on the phone with them until 3 this morning.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Tom, I love you.
Hey, I love you.
That was Juliana DePandy, Tom.
She's been spoken.
Hey, Tom from MySpace. Sue, you are the Tom from MySpace.
The Tom.
Wow. He's your first friend, man.
Yeah. And you have
And I kept him in my top 10 for inventing it.
200 million friends on your account?
There.
Wow. You don't do interviews normally, is that true?
Not too often, but I did do my first one, like my first official one with your old partner.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew, I was on there a couple weeks ago. And I just haven't really done much before. I kind of tried to stay away from that, but I decided to get out of the office.
Oh, fascinating. Let's get to the sex.
Do you like the mystery of being being Tom, the elusive Tom from who invented MySpace?
A little bit of that, but I've just been very busy, you know, working, and I thought doing that sort of thing would be a distraction. But lately, you've had some different things to announce, so I've come out of my shell.
You know what else is a distraction? All the three ways you can get on MySpace. Can we get to what MySpace was meant for?
Is that why you started MySpace?
Make Dane Cook famous. Those are the only options.
So Dane Cook could get laid, or you could get laid, Dom?
A little bit of both.
Dude, I'm telling you seriously, it is my favorite. I gave up drugs. I gave up drinking. It doesn't cost me any money to be on MySpace. It doesn't cause me any real trouble, except for a girl getting jealous and canceling 25,000 friends. I love my MySpace, and to be honest, that's not all I use it for. Like, we're the number one show in Las Vegas, and if I go to do a show in Vegas, do a comedy show, I send out a bulletin. Hey, coming to Vegas, I'll be playing this club. But if I'm just going to a city I'm not doing anything in, I still send out a bulletin because I have so many friends. 25 people go out drinking with me that I've never met before. I go to Cleveland. We don't have a show in Cleveland, right?
Right.
I'll put out a bulletin. I'll be in Cleveland. What's a good bar? 50 people will answer me. And I'll say, I'll be there Saturday night around 9. And I'll have 20 friends.
Well, is that...
It's the most awesome thing.
What initially attracted you to starting MySpace, Tom? Was it to get people together? Was it to make money? Was it to get people laid? Or all the above?
Well, I was using websites that were like it, like Friendster and Tribe and all the different things that were out there, and I just kind of thought we could do the same thing. I didn't like some of the decisions that they were making, and so I wanted to try my own version of it.
By the way, there is an upside social. I know I make jokes because I really do use it for fun, and I like having, like, instant friends in any city in America. I really do. I write them every day between 1 and 100 letters every single day, personalized. And then a bulletin to all my friends every single day.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Wait, Dan, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
On Sunday, were you standing in front of the Best Buy in Hollywood?
Yeah, I sure was.
With you looked right in my eyes.
and you looked down at the ground sort of coquettishly.
Mm. Oh, actually, I was a bit nervous. My 12-year-old was inside with my 6-year-old for their first venture into going in to buy a video game on their own, and I was scared.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you looked a little uncomfortable.
I was. I was terrified.
I came out of the Best Buy. I was trying to buy some outdoor speakers or something.
Oh, yeah, my kids were in there.
And I'm like, that looks like the guy. And I looked at you, and you looked at me, and you looked down at the ground.
You didn't know it was Tom, obviously.
Worshipping at the altar of Tom, if I'd have known it was him.
He's the Kaiser Sosa of computers.
No, the thing is, my 12-year-old, my 6-year-old do not get along and have not, and they did really well, and I'm getting a divorce, and I have custody every other weekend, and I'm trying to expand their horizons. So I stood outside the store while the 12-year-old took the 6-year-old in on her own to pick out the video, pay for it, and bring Daddy the change in the receipt.
Well, you stood outside the store because you couldn't smoke in the store, not because you wanted to teach him a life lesson.
No, Dick. I did two things.
Was he smoking, Tom?
I don't think he was.
What?
Then I just put it out. Yeah, you're right. You have me. But here's two life lessons. Don't just say you were doing it to snot smoke. I was teaching two life lessons, butthead. One, take care of your little brother. Two, if you start smoking, you can't go into Best Buy whenever you want.
Right.
So don't smoke.
All right. That's a good point. You ought to do PSAs. You want to go to Best Buy?
Don't smoke.
Don't smoke. The more you know.
You want hot chicks to make out with you and not go, bleh. Don't smoke.
Hey, Tom Anderson, of MySpace. The company was sold, MySpace was sold?
About 2 years ago, yeah.
$580 million, I hear? Wow.
Around there, yeah.
How? What percentage of that did you get to keep?
A big percentage.
Wow. That's nice. So now you don't have to work and you still have your 200 million friends. So, you know, it's got to be surreal. You probably...
Yeah, I still work. I work harder than before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you choose to work. Okay. But here's something that's surreal. Tom, you're mentioning passing Bonaducci. You recognize Bonaducci, and he has a MySpace page. But you probably can't walk 8 feet without passing three people that are technically your friend mm-hmm. or you're technically their friend in MySpace, mm-hmm. except for they don't know it.
Right.
Right, I don't get recognized that often.
That's got to be cool.
You know what I do that I think you'll appreciate? And I put this on one of the bulletins all the time, that I only spend my money in three places. People who sponsor this radio show, that's why I buy certain products. People who listen to this radio show if they have a business. And my MySpace friends if they open a business.
Yeah, right.
That's the only three places I will spend my money. If you sponsor the show and listen to the show, you're one of my MySpace friends. Because I consider my MySpace friends... There are people I talk to 5 times a day on MySpace that I really like. They just happen to be in Canada.
Well, Tom, we're out of time, but I appreciate you getting Danny's 25,000 some odd friends back.
Oh, by the way,
are you single?
Yes, I am.
Well, perhaps you should use your space to set your penis up. So we'll fill the space of some woman you meet on MySpace.
Tom, will you put my address on your address so people can get it and I can get all my friends back? Because I lost about 6,000 when I didn't get back to them.
Your address on MySpace?
Yeah, I think it's just MySpace.
My top 8.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just my address, I think now, the one you gave me last night was just myspace.com/Bonaducci. Now, I used to have two different addresses yesterday.
URL.
It was one was Bonaducci.biz, and the other one was Bonaducci318. But I think you combined them
amazing.
To just Bonaducci.
Tom, you ever had a conversation on the phone that wasn't on the air?
Very rarely.
All right. I'm going to ask you to break that tradition with Bonaducci.
I don't like talking on the phone.
Yes.
You should.
I'm sorry. I love this.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom's a good catch. You guys should do a show where you maybe have people call in and set him up on some dates or something. Like, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I feel like a lot of people want to know more about him and would love to get to know him, and we just don't know how to, like, access him. We need you as our middleman.
Well, I will act as Tom's middleman, although the last I checked, 25-year-old gazillionaires didn't have a whole lot of difficulty getting laid, but maybe we can put him together with a young woman. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Wow, we are woefully late. So I want to thank Bill Rancic for coming on the show, or at least phoning in the show. In the Loop with iVillage, NBC, weekday mornings. I believe it's starting on Monday. Mila Kunis, Moving McAllister, name of her new movie, out in Los Angeles on a Friday. That was her, actually. Jeff Garlin, I Want Someone to Eat Cheese With.
I can't stand Danny Bonaducci.
Out in L.A. on Friday. And, of course, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Thanks, brother. Tom, the Tom from MySpace, myspace.com/Tom. Great speaking to you, Tom.
Thank you. Thanks for using MySpace, guys.
Hey, thanks for the help.
Good times, and, of course, the beautiful, slender Juliana Rancic. Not DePandy, Rancic.
That's right.
E! News weeknights, 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Yeah. Only on E! And until next time, is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. This is why I didn't get laid when I was in my 20s, by the way.
All right.